commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire...
Celsius Hockey.
Yes, it's time once again for another Big Fake Radio Show. Joining me as always is new Larry, Kevin Jank.
Oh, Mr. Zookeeper, I could never take a cockatoo that big.
I guess that's a quote from this movie we watched tonight, The Hobgoblins from, what was this, 85-ish or 88-ish? I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah, I didn't look it up.
It's abysmal.
It's not that bad.
It was bad moments. Very few. And the man who chose this movie is our old buddy, my personal attorney, spiritual advisor, Tubby.
Mike Dow, will you still fake your orgasms for me?
Yes.
Always.
At least we can set our watch by something in this world.
We have a very special guest this evening. Let's see if we can... call him up on the big Skype machine here. I am dialing as we speak. Calling. I spoke to this man earlier today.
Hello.
Special guest, are you there?
Yeah.
What's your name, caller?
It's Ed. Who is this?
It's the hockey kid. It's
my speaker's off. Hold on, man. How do I turn my speaker on?
I don't know how you turn your speaker on.
Is my speaker on now?
Yeah, we can hear you. Do you want me to try and call you back on a different number? Is this all right?
No, this is all right. It's my only number I got. I ain't got a bunch of numbers. Right. What do you mean?
It says I have like three entries for you on my Skype. I don't know. I just call one.
Oh, there you go. It had this little like horn thing, like a little woman's nipple. Okay. With two lines on it, and then it had a line through it.
Oh, yeah, that meant you're muted.
It means hold the nipple.
Yeah.
I almost bit it.
It's our old buddy, the Ed, for people who don't know. It's our old buddy, the Ed.
I went to Kentucky earlier today.
Uh-huh. What did you order?
Well, I went to the drive-thru and I said, let me get two big black breasts cut off the nipple. And the lady goes, excuse me? And I said, oh, just give me the two-piece.
With mashed potatoes. It's his favorite joke.
No joke. I do it every time.
Oh, yes. Yes, you do it every time. It's nice to have you back on the show. You called me up this afternoon. We were talking a little bit. And you have some... hair-raising stories to tell the people.
Yeah, if you're bald, you're going to grow hair after you hear this.
Finally.
Yeah. Who do we got on here today?
Oh, yeah, it's our buddy Kevin Jank is here. Say hi to Jank.
Who?
Kevin Jank.
Oh, yeah.
And it's our old buddy Tuffy, your attorney, on the line as well.
Does he play guitar for a group or something?
No, he doesn't. Jank does not play guitar for a group.
I don't know. You sure?
Yeah, he's an accountant. That's what he does.
So, yeah. I count too.
Much less glamorous.
Yeah. But Tuffy's here as well, your buddy Tuffy.
Yeah, Tuffy, you're gonna be upset when I tell you this story because I had to get a different lawyer.
I have a quick story of my own for the Ed because we had our fantasy baseball draft last weekend.
Yeah, we were going to talk about that.
Yeah, I was using my phone to draft, and there were a couple times I could not find a button, and it just auto picked for me.
I'm clicking their papers.
It's a ripoff, man.
clicking their papers. All right, yeah, we'll talk about the fantasy draft in a bit. But
you gotta click on their papers, man. If you don't, you won't get them.
But the Ed, why don't you tell the kids what happened to you?
Hold on. The other day, I was driving. I went back to Las Vegas to hang out. It's on February 23.
February 23.
About 8:45 in the morning time.
And that was that was 6 days after my birthday. Thanks for the card.
I didn't send you no card.
Yeah, I know. Jerk.
Why are you thanking me? Oh, yeah, I sent you one of those email cards.
Oh, sorry. I must have missed it. But it's all right. So yeah, you're driving on February 23rd.
I hate it when motherfuckers on Facebook go, oh, happy birthday. Motherfuckers, shut up. You don't care none of my goddamn birthday. Or like when they go, oh, my condolences, like somebody dies and she don't give a fuck. They don't.
Yeah.
Well, right. It's great living in a million-dollar home.
It must be. Now, yeah, the only reason you're calling the show tonight is why, the Ed?
Oh, the doctor went to a concert.
That's right. The doctor's not home.
Some group called SWV.
SWV?
SWV.
Gypsy and Charlie Wilson.
No idea who any of those people are.
No.
Charlie Wilson was with a group called the Gap Band, but they all died, and he's the only one left. Right.
Oh, wow. There's a real gap in that band now.
Must be a very energetic show, high energy.
I knew some girls that could have been part of the Gap Band.
All right. Calm down. But yeah, so the doctor leaves the house, and the Ed's allowed to talk to his chums. That's the only time.
Oh, yeah, we're going an extra hour tonight.
Does the doctor, does she know I exist? Like 1-9, your old buddy 1-9, does she like?
She knows who you are. She don't like you.
Why doesn't she like
your broccoli costume?
I think I would be a good influence on you. Like, you know, I should be like someone you should be hanging out with.
She doesn't like anybody who thinks I'm funny.
Oh, well, she's safe. Then I'm safe. Don't worry about it.
I tell her jokes all the time, and she just looks at me like I'm stupid.
You probably tell her that KFC joke all the time.
Yeah, I did it with her in the car.
Who did your wife go to the concert with? Because it's obviously not you, so who did she go with?
Two of her girlfriends and her mom.
Oh, ladies' night out.
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of them. Jesus Christ. She put the top down on the Jag and took off.
Left the old man at home.
Yeah, it's NCAA basketball time.
Yeah, we'll get into that later, too. A lot to talk about with the Ed.
She tried to give me a check out of trash the other day. I said, man, the tournament's on.
It's March Madness. You can't take out the garbage. All right, so it's February 23rd. You're driving down the street.
8:45 in the morning. I'm over by the Las Vegas airport on Wayne Newton Boulevard.
Yeah.
And I'm at a red light. Then there's a bunch of cars behind me. Like, you know, everybody stops at a red light, right?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, the light turns green like it's supposed to. And I get ready to hit my gas. But before I can, the dude behind me, I guess he was in a fucking hurry. He was in a big monster truck behind me with a gate on the front of the truck. Bam! Smashed the whole back of my car, man. The trunk was in the back seat, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if I kind of got knocked out for a second or not, but I kind
of... Flash knockout.
Yeah, but then I looked around, I got out, and I said, God damn, man, what the fuck? And the guy goes, oh, man, I'm so sorry. I said, Jesus Christ, man, you got to wait till I go through the light before you go through. And he said, man, I thought you was going. I go, how could you think I was going if I wasn't going?
Yeah.
So he gives me my insurance. His name's Jimmy Schneider. And
hey, Jimmy.
He's got State Farm. And
State Farm.
So I got State Farm, too.
Oh, look at that. Twins.
My new agent is Baker Mayfield. He's Bake from State Farm.
That's good.
So the guy gives me his info. He wanted my info. I go for what, motherfucker? You hit me. I mean, what the fuck does this guy want my info? So then I call Cheryl over at State Farm, the lady I deal with, because Baker's playing football. And so I said, Cheryl, hey, this is Ed. And she said, Ed from Vegas? I said, yeah, but I live in Arizona now. She said, oh, okay. And I says, look, and I told her what happened. And she says, what's your policy number? I go, what the fuck do you need my policy number for? You know I got insurance. You probably got it right on the screen. Who knows their policy number by heart?
I think she's expecting you to have, like, the card with the policy number on it.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I lost that card. But I have a picture of it on my phone, though. All my important papers, all my passwords, my PIN numbers, everything, I took pictures of them and put them on my phone in the gallery department when it says important papers.
How many naked ladies are on those important papers in the gallery?
7.
All right, so you called the State Farm lady. She wants your policy number.
Insider's info. And they said, all right, well, is the car drivable? I'm like, yeah, I guess so. And I had to drive it all the way back from Vegas to Arizona. And so this is on a Friday. Hey, Rebel, what you doing, buddy?
Who in the blue hell is Rebel?
That's my new dog.
Oh, that's right.
Rebel the Bandit Miller. That's his name.
Rebel the Bandit Miller.
Yeah.
Have you told us what kind of dog Rebel the Bandit Miller is?
He is a, Jesus Christ, Golden Doodle.
Oh, that's right. All right. I'm remembering this now. Yeah, Golden Doodle.
Motherfucker was $1,800. Oh.
That's right. I was outraged when you told me that. Just go to the pound, you know? Just go to the pound. Pick up a dog.
Yeah, I would have went to the pound. I might take him to the pound so we can see where he might be going if he don't listen.
Maybe you should appreciate what he's got.
He ain't allowed on the couch, but he just jumped on it right now, and I can't get him down.
Are you allowed on the couch?
Yeah, I'm not allowed in the kitchen.
How's the weight loss going?
Oh, man, I'm down 19 pounds now.
Hey, congratulations.
Yep.
But I'm 9 pounds.
Tonight, when the doctor's gone, I'm gaining 3 pounds tonight.
What are you going to be eating tonight?
Man, I found we had a whole thing of cookie dough.
Just raw cookie dough?
It's the Nestle Toll House cookie dough.
Oh, like one of them tubes.
No, it's the goddamn bucket.
Bucket of cookie dough.
It's 36 ounces, 2 pounds. So I'm opening it right now. You hear that?
I do hear that, yeah.
So listen, so I give the information to the lady. So now they send me over to Enterprise Rent-A-Car to get what you call a rental car.
Yeah.
You ever had one of those?
I've never had the need to have a rental car, no.
They gave me the shittiest rental car ever. And, because they said his insurance only covers up to $25 a day for a rental car. I go, what? Can't get much for $25 a day. Can you?
Yeah, we're hearing you.
So, hold on, I'm eating this cookie dough.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah. Shit's good for you.
I don't know if it's good for you. But yeah.
So then, they give me this car. It's like a 20 or a 1999 some shit. It's fucking old. I'm driving it around town. So last week, I'm on the freeway driving. We're going about 75, 80, like with the flow of traffic. And we're on the freeway. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, an old rusty piece of metal flies, bounces on the ground on the freeway, comes right at my head. I'm looking at this fucking thing. I duck. The thing hits the car that I'm driving, shatters the windshield, glass falls all on me, and the piece, you know, rolls to the side or whatever, but it made a big dent on the frame of the car, too. Oh, so I'm still driving like 75, 80 miles an hour with cracked windshield and glass all over my whole body. People next to me are like, pull over, pull over. I'm like, nah, I'm all right, I'm all right. So I just kept driving. I drove straight to Enterprise, man. And I pull up to the Enterprise rental car, and it says car rental return. I drive there, and a guy named Edgar's up there. And
Edgar Enterprise?
Huh?
Is it Edgar Enterprise?
No, Edgar from Enterprise.
Oh, okay.
But I pull up and Edgar goes, what happened? I go, man, look at this shit. And I get out. He goes, God damn, you got glass on you. I go, I know. I came back from the fucking wreck. He said, did you stop and get the insurance information from the other person? I go, man, we're on a fucking freeway going like 80. He don't even know a piece fell off his truck. So they go there. Hey, man, he asked me my insurance information. I go, no. I go, man, I'm in a car getting paid for by another person's insurance. You use that motherfucking shit, not mine. So he goes, well, I don't know if we could do that. But luckily, I still had that guy's information on my phone. I took a screenshot of it. So when he asked for the policy number, I gave him that dude's policy number.
So, but the Ed, you're thankful, you know, lucky to be alive.
If it would have hit me in the face, I would have died, man. I mean, I'm scared still from what happened. I'm just thinking I probably could not have been here.
But you're driving that fast, too. Like, you jerked the wheel or something, you know? You could have caused a wreck.
Straight through like Mario Andretti.
Yeah.
And so then they give me a new car. They gave me a 2023 now. Shit. So that was kind of a blessing in disguise.
But what is it? Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Then my car, I get a call from the people. Since my car was a 2023 that got in the wreck, when it bashed in my trunk, all the parts are not available at this time. So they said it might be a 2 or 3 month back order. So I got this rental car for like 2 or 3 months. I'm going to drive the shit out of it.
So Tuffy, as his attorney, are you concerned about anything? Maybe he has a whiplash or something like that. You might want to look into it.
Yeah, could be. You better go see your doctor, get a neck brace just to be safe.
Yeah, I already did, man. I got a chiropractor pain management. I've already got 6 subscriptions, and then I got
prescriptions. Prescriptions.
And then I go see the chiropractor every single day. Then this chiropractor, listen to this shit.
That's just in general, probably.
Huh?
I mean, chiropractors don't really do anything, but
this guy hurt me already, man. He said, lay on your stomach. And he got this like thing like a gun. It was like, and he did it on the middle of my back. And man, he ruptured. He cracked one of my bones in my ribs.
Oh no!
Yeah, so I had to go get an X-ray on that. And they said, yeah, he got cracked ribs. He said it's from the seatbelt. I said, shit, it's from your ass fucking table. So now next week I got 3 MRIs I got set up. Yeah, I got one for my lumbar, they call it, which is my back. Then I got one for my neck, and then I got one for my front of my chest.
It's a lot of MRIs.
Yeah. Hey, man, the more shit you do, the more shit you get paid in the end.
So what about this new attorney, though? You didn't consult with Tuffy. You hired a different attorney?
Tuffy doesn't practice in Vegas or Arizona.
Yeah. So what's this guy's deal? Like, who'd you hire?
This kid from one of my grandsons went to high school with him.
Oh.
Yeah, he got one of them law degrees. He works at some, like it's called Fast Injury or something like that.
Fast Injury. That sounds reputable. So
yeah. All
right.
It's like the general. You know how the general is on car insurance?
Yeah.
He's the general of injury insurance. And they call him the general, too.
Wow, he's such a young man, and he's called the general.
He wears one of them hats and stuff. That's a cool little gimmick.
That is a good gimmick, yeah. All right, Dad. Well, we're happy you're safe and healthy, you know, that you survived all that. And
yeah.
Hopefully it all works out. So, the Ed, as Tuffy mentioned, we had our fantasy baseball draft this past weekend. And I picked Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
And then, like, 2 days later, there's a big story in the news that he may be the new Pete Rose of baseball.
This is the most overblown story I've ever heard in my whole life.
See, I'm surprised by this because I would have thought you would be all the conspiracy side of things. Like, oh, yeah, he's gambling on baseball.
Nah, the dude, man, the dude had poker debts, man. That's all this shit is. These guys are irresponsible journalism. ESPN's pieces of shit, I'll tell you.
All right, so you're saying that because Tuffy, have you heard anything about what kind of debt it was? Because it was always said, I heard sports wagering, right? Or no?
Yeah, illegal sports wagering, not like with a sports book, with a bookie.
No, they just said, they never said sports wagering. They said he made bets through a bookie. But
so you can bet on poker?
He had poker games. No. The bookie had poker games. He had poker nights, big expensive poker nights in L.A., and that interpreter was playing those pokers. He got down. Ohtani paid it off because they was going to kill that dude.
Now, how do you know this? Is this an Anita Scoop special for the Ed Times, or has this been reported elsewhere?
You're going to see when it gets reported.
All right. So this is exclusive to the Ed Times. All right. Because the word on the street, right away they said, well, that guy had debts that Ohtani wired money.
Okay, and so what if he did? It wasn't Ohtani's bets.
But then Ohtani came out and said later that, oh, no, that guy stole that money from me.
Yeah.
I think that he needed an interpreter because I don't think he said the right thing.
Yeah, well, he didn't say it. His lawyers said it.
Yeah,
his lawyers misunderstood him because he speaks Japanese.
So because the story changed, people are like, oh, here we go. What's going on? But what do you think happened, Tuffy?
I don't know. Seems like it's hard to have $4.5 million stolen from you without you noticing.
Not if you have $100 million or $200 million, $300 million.
I guess
steal $4.5 million. Through, like, wires.
Hold on. Let me tell you something. We're going to have to go back to the Tiger Woods analogy when I told you about Tiger Woods and not cheating because of the percentage. So let's just think, Tuffy. Normally, when you look in your checking account, you have $864.32.
On a good week. Yeah, that's what I got.
So if you look at your bank statement one day and it says $856, you're not going to miss that $8. You're like, oh, I probably spent it doing something. Ohtani shit says $565,492,614.03. Okay, if $4 million is gone, that's way down in the column of monies.
But is it easy to just transfer? Yeah, go ahead.
An interpreter wasn't just going to the ATM to take out $100. He was transferring tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, there are all kinds of banking requirements to move that much money.
No, man. I got Zelle.
He's got the Cash App. He just says,
Cash App, PayPal, Zelle.
Yeah, this story's fishy as all hell, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Everybody's just assuming shit when it's poker debts from this fucking dude.
Well, I guess right before we started doing the show, the MLB tweeted out that they have begun their official investigation into Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. Bad news for the Mayday Malones.
I know, right after I drafted him. 2 days later. Couldn't it come out 2 days earlier?
Everybody wants to be first with the story.
Yeah.
And see, they should just wait and let it play out and see what happens. But no, everybody's like, oh, ban him tomorrow. Did Pete Rose get banned in a day? No. How long did that Pete Rose shit take?
I just think it's kind of, you know, they're walking a fine line, all sports now, because every sports game is sponsored by online gambling and sports betting.
Yeah.
So it's just seems like a conflict of interests.
Well, you know, that's the problem that everybody says, too. Oh, they're gambling because gambling's been around for how many fucking millions of years?
Yeah, but should the leagues be taking profits?
It doesn't matter. The players ain't. The league didn't tell the player to bet it. They told him you can't bet.
Yes, but still, should the league be selling advertising to these places? All right. Yes. That settles that.
That answers that.
Yeah. If not, they need to. If not, then the feds need to say, "Hey, man, now gambling can only be in Vegas." Which I told you from the beginning, gambling should only be in Las Vegas and maybe Atlantic City. And that's it.
Yeah.
Because I told you, gambling ain't good.
Oh, gambling's terrible.
I'm good at it.
You're terrible at it.
What do you mean?
You do nothing but lose.
Well, he must not see my house.
That's the doctor's money. That ain't you.
Nope.
All right, Dad, if you're so good at the gambling, who do you got in the March Madness? Who do you got? Did you fill out a bracket? I know Jank filled out a couple brackets. He's right,
why would I fill out a bracket? You don't get no money for filling out a bracket. I go to the sports book and I put my money down. That's what I do.
All right, so what's been happening so far in the tournament? Because I haven't watched any of it.
Three of the 11 beat the 16. That kind of upsets.
Wow, how about that?
Auburn, number 14, four, Auburn went down to number 13, Yale. That was weird.
You lost to an Ivy League school? What the hell are you doing?
Oakland, number 14, Oakland knocked out number three, Kentucky.
Kentucky? Yeah,
that's Oakland, Michigan, not Oakland, California.
Or Oakland, Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Area in Pittsburgh.
Calipari is out.
Well, Calipari should be gone anyway, man. He's been there.
Yeah, I was watching that game and I saw him and I thought, I recognize that guy. Who is he? Because he hasn't done anything in a long time.
Where did he used to coach back in the day? Was that UConn?
Supposed to win every year.
He was at Memphis during the Derrick Rose years.
Where was he before that, though, the Ed? Was he?
He was in Massachusetts.
Yeah, he was somewhere in the east. Yeah, all right.
UMass. He was at UMass, man.
Oh, all right.
Patino was at Providence. Calipari was at UMass, and that's when Calipari got in a fight with John Chaney at Temple, and John Chaney tried to strangle John Calipari.
That was great.
You remember that?
I do remember that. Yeah.
See,
that was good times.
Kyle, let me get a cigar real quick.
Cookie dough and cigar. Nothing goes better.
Yeah.
So, who do you got winning the tournament then, in the end?
I got North Carolina or Tennessee. Those are my two picks.
All right.
I got Tennessee at 26-1, and I've got North Carolina at, 12-1.
Tuffy, do you have any insight into the college basketball?
I'm taking Marquette.
Marquette.
My alma mater.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, they got Shaka Khan, their coach.
Yeah.
Jank, any thoughts on the college basketball?
What's a basketball?
Where's Jank from? Milwaukee?
He's from Illinois.
Oh, what?
Burbank, right by where Tuffy was born.
I got to go out to Joliet.
Oh.
Right.
Pretty close by.
One of my buddies is locked up. I got to go talk to him.
Joliet, Jake. And the Blue Brothers. What else are we going to ask you?
Joliet.
Oh, what about the women's NCAA?
Oh, my God. Is he? Man, listen to this shit. Man, why is ESPN dragging this shit down our throats, man?
Everyone loves the women's now because of Caitlin Clark in Iowa.
Nobody gives a flying fuck about that shit. and guess what I heard last night?
Aren't there only two good female basketball teams, college basketball teams? Aren't there only like two good teams? So,
man, who gives a fuck about it? No one goes to that shit. You're either lesbian or your kid plays.
Yeah, that's a little harsh.
You want to watch the finals? You got to go to Cleveland.
I've never met one person who's bought a ticket to a WNBA game.
Well, they say this Caitlin Clark's all the rage. People are selling $500 tickets to go watch her play and everything in Iowa.
Come on, man. Do you believe that shit?
Well, Iowa doesn't have a lot going for it. So, I mean, if you're popular in Iowa, that's probably.
Let me ask you something. When you've walked around, Tuffy, Jank, number one, Niner, I know you don't get out much, but
yeah,
still,
I walk
you
around.
See this, okay? But when you're out in your town, you always see somebody in a Bears jersey, a Dodgers jersey, some shit. I've never seen one motherfucker in my life wear a WNBA jersey.
That's a fair point.
No? I didn't say that.
How are you?
No, I haven't.
They're talking about their jersey sales are going through the roof. I'm like, what, of a fucking treehouse?
So I guess you're not betting on the women's tournament then?
No.
All right.
Bravo, what you want, man? You want to go in the house? All right, well, you ain't smoking with me then. Go on.
Rebel smoke cigars?
Yeah. He tries. He's a baby, though. He's just 4 months old. He's trying to learn. But I mean, no one, I've never seen one fucking person wear a WNBA jersey.
Maybe I should get you one for your birthday.
Man.
You'll love it. Go ahead. All right, calm down. There's a lot of big football news in the world of America. A lot of things happened in the NFL. The Pittsburgh Steelers have two new quarterbacks.
Guess what? I'm going to tell you something about the Pittsburgh Steelers. What have I always said about the Steelers?
They're the best football team ever.
Jank, what have I always said about the Steelers?
No one knows what you said about the Steelers.
I don't know.
They've sucked. They're a terrible team.
Oh, concise, yeah.
But I'm going to tell you something. They're going to the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, how about that? Have you told Damashek this?
Yeah, he won't answer my calls.
You should alert the Dave. Do you like Russell Wilson? I think those are pretty good moves, though, getting rid of Pickett, bringing in Russell and Justin Fields. That's pretty good, right?
He'll do great there.
Yeah, and he'll play for 1 year. Then you get Justin Fields ready to go, right?
Man, I think Justin Fields will probably get traded at the trade deadline or something. They'll probably get something.
Yeah, Tuffy, how do you feel Justin Fields is
the
not
the Bears are a dumb fucking team. The Bears are stupid as shit.
Yeah, Tuffy wanted them to keep Justin Fields and then, what, trade that down or get more picks or just use the one
trade down, build your roster out.
Okay, listen, here's what my deal was. Look at the top quarterbacks in the NFL. Let's look at the final four quarterbacks that played in the NFL this year. Brock Purdy was not a first round or a number one overall draft pick, was he?
Last pick of the draft. Okay. The very last pick, yeah.
Jared Goff, he was the first pick, but that's kind of weird.
He had a bad career, and then he kind of rebounded. Yeah,
Patrick Mahomes was a mid-first rounder. And then, who was the other one? Lamar Jackson was the second rounder. So here's what my thing to be is. The Bears should have traded the number one overall pick, as well as trade Justin Fields. Then you take a quarterback late in the first round or early in the second round. You get that fourth or fifth quarterback down the line. That's the dude that's going to be the good quarterback. Because the number one overall dude got too much fucking pressure on him, got too much bullshit going. You go and get Michael Penix from Washington, he has no pressure. He's a fucking late first rounder, early second rounder.
Hey, I watched that. Hey, Tuffy, I watched that Caleb Williams. He had his pro day, and they were showing it on the TV.
Yeah.
And he looked terrible.
That football a quarter mile.
He looked bad. I don't know.
I heard different reports. I heard that he was good, then I heard he sucked.
he did not look good. I mean,
he ain't gonna be good, man. The Bears are gonna make a terrible, terrible choice, like they always do.
Yeah,
like he looked good for like just a guy, but first overall pick, you want to, you know, you want that ball to have some snap on it, you know. And there were balls all over that field. It's not like they were clean passes. I don't know.
Watch next year. How many did the Bears win this year? 7, right? With Justin Fields. Why would you leave Justin Fields when you got 7 wins with him? When he was coming up, he was doing.
And he was injured as well in the year. He didn't play all
the
games. I didn't watch the Bears as much as Tuffy, but the games I watched, I was watching because I had Justin Fields as my fantasy quarterback for part of the season. And what I saw was their offensive coordinator was a dummy and their head coach was a dummy. That's what I noticed.
Yeah.
But
yeah, the Bears always hire bullshit coaches, man.
Yeah.
They might as well hire Suey as their fucking coach.
Hey, the Steelers also brought in that Patrick Queen fella from Baltimore, a linebacker.
So yeah, everyone, but he might pass his prime, though.
Everyone's excited about that, though, here in the Steel City. What other big football news has there been?
Gardner Minshew left the Colts and went to the Raiders.
Wait, who? Oh, Gardner Minshew. Yeah. He seems like a perfect Raider quarterback, right? Gardner Minshew?
I don't know, man.
He's a backup. Yeah, he seems like in that Kenny Stabler mold, though.
Yeah. I mean, Gardner Minshew is probably the best backup in the NFL, and he's all right as a starter. I mean, shit, he did all right for the Colts, almost got him to the playoffs because that goddamn Anthony Richard ain't shit.
Anthony Richardson. Hey, if that one Colt kid didn't drop that pass, you guys win that game. You know, that fourth down, he dropped it.
Like, and then we went to the playoffs.
Yeah. Hey, but what about, we forgot to ask you about the other side of the Pittsburgh situation, or Kenny Pickett. He's now in Philadelphia behind Jalen Hurts.
He was a bullshit player.
Yeah, he just looks very fragile in there, and he's already had like 3 concussions and a couple injuries in 2 years, and I don't know. Just he looks like a really good backup quarterback.
7 concussions.
Who has
Bradshaw? Terry Bradshaw got 67 concussions. Concussions are overblown, man.
But I think Kenny Pickett will be a very good backup quarterback. But
I think you'll find it hard to believe I've had 12 or 11 concussions.
That's believable. Yeah, that's believable. Yeah. Not bad.
But, I mean, concussions, those are things that you need.
Yeah, shake you up a little bit. Rattle your brain. Yeah, start you over. It's like a reboot. Hey, Keenan Allen left the Chargers and went to Tuffy's Bears.
Yeah, that was good.
Some people, but I'm telling you, they're going to have pieces, and Caleb Williams is going to fucking suck. Let me tell you this. There's going to be a fight in that locker room with Caleb Williams and somebody.
Yeah, it just seems weird. Like, wasn't he already making like $10 million a year in college?
See, I'm going to tell you something about that NIL, man. A lot of that shit's over fucking blown.
Yeah, but a USC starting quarterback, they're making money. I mean.
Yeah, but he had to pay taxes, so he got 5.
But still, he's making money, you know.
Then he had to pay somebody, got him that deal, another 20%, so he made 3. He didn't make shit.
But he's still a millionaire coming out of college. Like, this is something they've never had to do before in the NFL.
And that's why I'm telling you, that's why it's going to be a fight.
Yeah.
Because he ain't going to be like, you know how like when they always told the rookies, hey, rookie, get my bag. He going to be like, motherfucker, I ain't getting your bag. I got $1 million.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a whole new world here in the NFL. These rookies coming in with money.
It's NIL, some bad shit, too. I mean, I don't mind the kids getting money, but, man, there's no way to like, say the NFL, there's a salary cap. In college, no one knows where the money's coming from.
Yeah.
So people can get all kinds of money. And these guys who are the boosters are fucking dummies, too. Because here's what I would put in the contract. You got to play every game, including that fucking bowl game.
Yeah, that was one red flag for me with Kenny Pickett. He sat out the bowl game after Pitt won their division, the ACC, and then they had a bowl game, and he sat it out because he didn't want to get injured or whatever. But come on, dude, you're the leader of the team. You just sit that out.
I hate that. Everybody cries about, oh, I don't want to get injured. Guess what? If you get injured, you're still going to get picked. You're still going to fucking play.
especially if you're the quarterback. I mean, everyone else is depending on you, and you're just like, yeah, fuck all my teammates. I'm not playing.
I remember Willis McGahee at Miami when he blew his ACL in the championship game.
Yeah.
And he ended up still playing 8-9 years in the league.
Yeah. It seems like there's been more football news that we're forgetting, but I guess Pittsburgh was the big stuff, and Fields and Russell.
Well, the Packers got Josh Jacobs from the Raiders, and then he got in a car or something today.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Is he all right?
The Raiders, so I don't know exactly what happened.
Did something fall off a truck and go through his windshield?
I don't know. It would happen to me.
Yeah, the Packers got rid of Aaron Jones then, right? They just went with Josh Jacobs?
Yeah, he went to the Vikings.
And what are the Vikings going to do at quarterback? Because, yo, Kirk Cousins went to Atlanta.
Yeah, Kirk and Minnesota. One of my grandkids, his son, not my grandkid's son, my grandkid's friend, is playing for the Vikings, named Jalen Hall. And then one of my sons went to school with Jalen Hall's daddy, Kalen. Because Kalen played at BYU. He black dude, then married a Mormon chick. Then they had little Jalen. And now Jalen, he play at Minnesota. But he ain't going to start. He about third string, probably. He played a couple games.
Yeah, I remember him playing. Yeah.
I think the connection to everybody in this world through me.
Yeah, how about that?
I think my hands have touched everybody.
Sometimes even with consent.
Yeah.
All right, hey, I also heard you're taking batting practice at spring training. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, I went to the Cubs game the other day over in Mesa. And,
how about that?
Yeah.
The Cubs. That's Tuffy's team. Tuffy loves the Cubs.
Yeah.
I got out there with some old timers. I was with Bernie Banks, Ernie's brother, and we were hanging out. And we got some hot dogs. And then Brian Sandberg was there, Ryan's little brother. And we was out there, and they were like, hey, Ed, you want to hit batting practice? I was, yeah. So then.
Did Sammy Sosa have a brother?
No, I got a sister named Tammy. Tammy Sosa.
All right, Tammy.
She was out there. But she's ugly, though. She looked just like Sammy.
Hey, what about Sean Dunstan? Did he have a brother? Remember Sean Dunstan? He was good.
No, I don't know. I don't know if he got any family members or not.
Maybe a sister named Don.
Sister named Don, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I usually know who they are, but I don't know about that one.
I'm just trying to remember all the old Cubs I can think of.
Yeah.
Brian Sandberg.
Yeah,
he said
that one. Brian.
Was there? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Mark Grace. Did Mark Grace have a brother?
Kerry Wood. And his sister, Kerry Wood.
That's what I was going to tell you, that Jerry Wood threw bat in practice for us, Kerry's brother.
Mark Pryor. Hey, all right. So how'd you
and
do?
Barry Wood was the Bat Boy.
How'd you do? It was the Bat Boy, Jank.
Larry Wood.
Larry Wood.
I don't know. I knew Jerry Wood.
How'd batting practice go? Did you hit some dingers?
I hit two out of the
infield. Two out of the infield. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I batted left-handed and right-handed.
You know, I was going to ask. Yeah. You are a switch hitter. I've heard that about you.
Yeah. But, man, them bases are far as fuck. God damn.
Yeah, 90 feet, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot farther than when me and Franklin played on that baseball league. And Franklin got hurt, and then he got his money
back. You kept
back.
His money. You kept his money. You didn't give him his money. Remember that?
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
He's dead now anyway. You don't need it.
There you go. Oh, dare you. So baseball is right about to start here, the Ed. Who do you got? Who do you like? The Dodgers. What if Ohtani gets suspended for the year? Oh, my goodness. That'd be terrible.
They're
still going to win like 100 games.
Why would he get suspended?
Because he's betting on baseball.
Man, they got to prove that.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. So
this investigation will go all through the fucking year.
I haven't paid attention to baseball in over 8 years, but now I'm way into it because we got this fan.
Then on the day before Thanksgiving, they'll say, Ohtani has no charges.
Yeah. So From what I hear, that the Dodgers look like a powerhouse. They just look loaded.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. It's a best of seven, man. Who knows? And who knows what happens when the playoffs happen? People get injuries, they get hurt. They're good.
But they should be like a lock to get to the playoffs, at least. It looks that way.
Well, yeah, they should get in the playoffs.
Who else is looking good, Tuffy?
The Cincinnati Reds are the dark horse.
What about them Buccos? The Pittsburgh Pirates? O'Neill Cruz?
They're not good.
I'd like to see the Pirates do pretty good.
Yeah, if they bring up that Paul Skeens kid, you know? He looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Is Texas supposed to be pretty good? Are they any good?
Yeah.
I think so.
Who?
The Yankees, Texas. But now Garrett Cole might be hurt.
The Mets, Edwin Diaz is back. They, Tommy Trumpets and all that nonsense.
Who?
Edwin Diaz, their closer, comes out and they play that trumpet song.
I don't even know him.
Oh, yeah. It's great. All right, so there's your baseball season preview.
Well, I don't know. The Yankees, I hope, don't do good.
Yeah, I don't think they're supposed to be that good.
Do you like the Yankees?
No, Larry loves the Yankees.
Wonder why.
He loved Don Mattingly when he was growing up.
Well, I like Don Mattingly, yeah.
That was Larry's favorite.
I told you I had Thanksgiving dinner with Don Mattingly one year, right?
Probably. Yeah, I'm sure you brought that up at some point. But
not with the Pat Knight at Texas Tech, because Preston Mattingly played for Texas Tech under Pat Knight. So we was at Pat's for Thanksgiving, and Preston was there, and his dad came, and they came over for Thanksgiving dinner, and we had dinner at Pat's house.
How about you still talk to the Pat Knight?
Yeah. You know, I talked to him the other day. He was supposed to meet me in Las Vegas at this pizza place. I went there and he never showed up, and then I called him and asked. So I said, fuck it, I just ate my pizza.
Ghosted by Pat Knight. What about that assistant coach kid? You still talk to him? Remember him?
Yeah, I'm mad at him, man.
Oh no.
Because I designed a t-shirt.
Oh, okay.
And he took it to Indiana University, and Indiana wore it on January 4th in their warm-ups against Ohio State. Adidas sponsored it, and they didn't give me no money.
What was the design on the t-shirt? Like Big and Ugly Larry? Is that shirt?
It had Indiana with some stars and shit around it and all that.
Oh.
And it was warm-up shirts, and they sold them. They sell them in the bookstore now at Indiana.
Wow. And you didn't get any?
$1 off of them.
Yeah,
whatever happened to our kid at Backstage Press?
Yeah, we had him on the show about, 2 years ago? He's doing well, but we told him we'd stay in touch, but we haven't because I don't talk to anybody. Yeah, he was still making the t-shirts.
He should have done what I told him.
I'm making t-shirts, the Ed. I have my own little site up with t-shirts.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, anyone can do it.
Yeah.
They have these companies, you can just make t-shirts.
Huh.
Yeah, well, you tell me what t-shirt you want made, Ed. We'll make up t-shirts.
I want a t-shirt of our old cartoon when you had the broccoli suit and I was looking cool.
The broccoli.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you even have any pictures of that anywhere? Because I don't even have.
You know?
Yeah.
Man, that was the greatest sight ever, man. What happened to that shit?
I loved it so much. Those are literally the greatest things I've ever seen in my life.
Those were the greatest shows.
Whoever was doing 1-9's voice really nailed it. Spot on.
Yeah, that was a kid I found. He was an English fella.
Yeah, he was English.
Yeah, he was a good kid.
He was a good kid. So what else is going on in the world of America, Ed? What would you like to talk about?
Well, I was at the grocery store the other day.
Hey, I was at the grocery store the other day. And I think, let me tell you this. Here's a little story. I'm going about my groceries, you know. I'm in the self-checkout. And I checked out the payment part, and now you got to go down and pack the groceries, you know?
Yeah.
And someone was behind me. I could feel someone was coming in behind me, so I wanted to hurry up. So I'm going through, you know, and I'm bagging my groceries. I'm doing really good. And I just hear this lady, she says, "Hey, you're really good at that." And I'm like, "Oh, all right, thanks." And I just laughed, you know, thanks.
Practicing for 40-something years.
And I'm going about my business, you know. And she's like, "No," I was like, "you're just the way you organize everything. It's so good." And it's like, what else did she say? She said, shoot. She says, "Were you ever a bagger? Are you ever like a fearsome?" And I'm like, "No, just gifted, you know. But I'm just going about my business, not paying attention. And I'm just trying to get out of there, you know, because no one ever talks to me, and I never talk to anybody." And then, but then she says something else, and I look up and I just smile real quick and I wait, you know. And here, it is a good-looking lady.
Whoa. You know?
Yeah. But then I just went back. I know. I just went back about my business. Like, it didn't even dawn on me because I like, looked back down because I'm just so intent on getting my groceries packed and getting the fuck out of the store, you know?
She wanted to bag her.
Yeah. And then, so when I'm done, I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I'm walking away, and I'm like, wait, I think that lady was hitting on me. You know, she was like, because normally when you're in the grocery store and someone's talking to you, it's like just a weirdo, you know? So I don't.
Yeah.
But like, it normally didn't even dawn on me. Talking to people.
You got to keep in mind, like, around Greensburg, I'm pretty good looking fella for Greensburg, you know? I'm in
shape. Mike Dell's a Greensburg 8.
It's you and Todd Teacher really getting all the ladies.
I'm a pretty attractive fella in Western Pennsylvania. Yeah. So, yeah, I think this lady was hitting on me, and I blew it.
Well, the good news is, Mike Dell,
you go back in, like, got to be hospital again.
Everything in Greensburg is by the hospital.
Everything's by the hospital. But, yeah, Cenk, I didn't go back in or anything, but I lingered in the parking lot a moment just to see if she would come out, but she didn't. So I'm like, all right, fuck it. So I just left. But
I waited in my car to see which car she got into.
Yeah, I was taking my time putting my groceries in the car, you know. Maybe if I see her come out, I'll say something. But no, she didn't come out, so I'm like, all right, fucking. But yeah, I think I blew a chance there, the Ed, right?
I should have. Yeah.
And
you probably should have had her.
Yeah.
And I'm never even going to get that chance again, you know?
You know, this is what happens when you don't talk to anybody, is when someone tries to talk to you, you don't know what to do.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do. Like, what, social interaction? What the hell is going on here? So... But you wait your whole life for an attractive lady to talk to you at the grocery store, and it happened to me, and I just wasted it. I had an opportunity, and I wasted it.
And she saw you bagging up your tofu. And
I know.
And you're good. So she didn't run away screaming. So
she was impressed by my bagging skills.
Well, I found out an interesting thing when I was at the store. So I was talking to one of the managers because I was in the produce section.
Okay.
And we were talking. And I was like, is it hard to get, you know, workers and stuff like that? And the lady's like, yeah, it's been tough, you know, people quit all the time and everything. And I said, when you got the people like that work at the cash register, I said, now, do they have to be like qualified to do that or what? Or what kind of degrees they need for that?
Well, you don't need a degree.
And she said, no, they don't need no degree. I said, what, you got to train them to learn how to do it and everything? She goes, oh, yeah, we give them extensive training and everything. I said, okay, that's good to know. So when I went to the self-checkout, man, I stole like about 9 fucking items and shit. Like, I act like I'm scanning them and shit. So,
well, I think usually they have people watching like behind a window. Like, I know in our store, there's like a window. Yeah,
that's what I'm about to tell you. So this lady comes up to me when I'm leaving with my bag. She said, sir, did you pay for all those groceries? I said, yeah. She said, can I see your receipt? So I hand her my receipt. She goes, you know, you missed like 6 or 7 items. I go, what do you mean? I said, no, I didn't. I said, I put them on that machine there. She goes, yeah, but you didn't scan them right. I said, well, I don't work here. And the lady goes, well, you just have to scan them. I said, well, I just asked the manager. She said, did you guys properly train your cashiers to scan? I said, I wasn't properly trained. So I said, I'd like to have my stuff so I can leave. And then she said, you gotta pay for this. I said, look, as far as I know, I paid. I said, I don't know what to tell you. I said, if my stuff doesn't show up on my debit card, I said, look, it shows I paid for it. I don't know what to tell you. And so I grab my stuff and leave. And the whole time she's yelling, sir, 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 sir. I'm like, no, I fucking walked out. What's she going to do?
But the other side of this story I had is, what if that's the universe telling me maybe I should be a grocery bagger?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What if that's my calling?
Mr. Calling.
Usually they hire young kids and retarded people for that. There's always one retard at the fucking grocery store bagging. Did you ever know there's always one retarded kid doing that job?
But ever since I started watching Check It Out with Don Adams, I really want to work in a grocery store.
God.
Come on, I could be Don Adams. It would be great.
Oh, finally. Jesus.
Finally.
I don't know.
We'll see.
But I think these people are stupid half the time at these stores, man.
I love the grocery store, though. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, you do.
What I like is the Easter candies.
I'm going to be going to Giant Eagle every day at the same time, bagging groceries. Look how good I'm bagging. Anybody? Anybody?
You're doing like tricks like Tom Cruise and Cocktail.
Fucking hell. What are you going to do? All right. So what else, Ed?
I don't know. I'm watching Barney Miller right now. Have you ever watched
it? I fucking love Barney Miller. I talk about it all the time on this show. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good show, man. They got some new ones out now.
Well, no, there aren't any new ones. Yeah,
it looks new. I'd never seen this one. My boy Ron Glass was on it. Remember him?
Yeah, Ron Glass played Detective Harris. Yeah.
And you knew that was my friend.
Yeah, you guys were tight.
He died, though.
Yeah. Do you remember after that he did an Odd Couple where it was like the black version of the Odd Couple? He was like the famous on
him and Damon Wilson, Lamont.
That's right. Yeah, Lamont.
Lamont played Jack Klugman.
But Barney Miller's awesome. I like Jack Sue on there, you know. Well, Japanese, but yeah.
Yeah, same thing. Chinese, Japanese, dirty knees, look at these.
What about Dietrich? I like Dietrich.
I didn't like that guy. Steve Landisberg? Nah, I'm like him.
Yeah. Like, if I was on that show, I'd be Dietrich, I think. You know?
He always reminded me of the guy that played on the Lakers, Mark Landisberg, and I was wondering, were they brothers?
You a big Wojo fan?
No, I didn't like him either, man. He was an ex-football player.
Max Gale.
Yeah.
What about Levitt?
I don't remember him. I like Abe Vigoda. I got more rhymes than Abe Vigoda.
Yeah, Vigoda's good. Yeah, Barney Miller's a great show. I'm trying to tell Jank and Toffee to watch Barney Miller, but these two sons of bitches will never watch it.
They never watch it, though. Hey, so I talked to Yaya the other day, and I told him your
Johnny Yaya. Cigar.
Yeah, I told him. I said, hey, man, I had some guys review your movie on their radio show. What's the address for it or whatever? I said, no, you don't want to hear what they say.
Did I say I was from Burbank, Illinois? I meant, South Dakota.
Burbank, California.
I told them they had a hard time following the plot. They said they didn't have a plot to the whole movie.
What was his defense?
He said, well, the plot comes out in the sequel.
The plot in the sequel. He won me back with that one. All right, Dan. I'm a fan again.
So Cigar 2 will start filming soon.
Are you going to be in it?
No, he won't let me.
What? I know. It seems like a terrible idea. You should be in that movie.
He wants to do a reality show with me where I just go to different barber shops and talk to people.
That'd be exciting. He had some good-looking women in that movie, though.
Yeah.
He probably met him bagging groceries.
Of course.
I didn't know nothing, man. Hey, how many teams were in the NBA in 1977?
20.
Was it really?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I wasn't even born yet, so.
Who was it?
Tuffy and Jack, they're so young.
Yeah.
How old is?
39.
41.
Now, there were 22 teams back then.
I was close.
Man, that don't mean shit. So.
Who's going to win the NBA title this year, again?
For NBA? I'm going to say the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, don't they have some good kid? Like
Anthony Edwards, yeah.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
He was an actor. There's a white fella. He was an actor.
Oh, I tell you, security guy Irv ain't dead.
Yeah, you did tell me this. So I was relieved to hear that. Because we were concerned. Like, Ed thought Irv died. Like, legit. So.
He was with Cookie.
He was with Cookie.
Yeah.
Well, I thought Cookie was white, so I figured he was with his wife. But
I thought they were both dead. I even told him. I said, man, I thought you guys died.
Do you think Mike Dell died when you didn't talk to him for like a couple months?
No, but the Irv had been having health problems, though, right?
Irv had problems, man.
Oh, okay. Mike Dell has health problems. They're just chronic.
I have mental issues. My health is physical health. Right now.
He's bagging groceries at a fourth grade level.
No, that was an accelerated level of grocery bagging. And impressed a very fine looking woman. So don't you worry about that. But Irv's doing all right.
He seems to be. So I was just shocked when I saw him. It was like a ghost creeped up on me. I said, wait a minute.
A ghost creeped up on you.
It was really, really weird.
Irv was the man.
Irv's a pretty good kid, though.
I still have a hat he sent me one time, a security guy Irv hat he sent me.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, just says security on it, I think.
He owned a security company.
Yeah. Good old Irv. All right. Well, what else have you been watching on TV, yet? Anything exciting?
I always watch this show called I Almost Got Away With It.
Yeah, you've talked about this in the past, yeah.
And I watch that a lot. And then I watch 600 Pound Life.
Yeah.
Oops, yeah. The story people. Of Karma from the New Mutants.
Yeah. We read a comic book last week where a lady was really fat. Yeah, she put on a lot of weight. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. If I put on a lot of weight, I'd be really, really mad.
Yeah, it's no way to live, you know?
No. Because if you live fat, you're going to die fat.
Yeah.
That's the only bad thing about being fat, is that you could die being fat.
And now you're slimming down, the Ed. Are you, how'd you lose the 19 pounds? Just the diet, or are you exercising? What's going on over there?
I mean, I go out and walk around. I walk up and down the block.
That's good. Yeah, you got to keep moving, you know?
Yeah. I lose a lot more weight if I'd start fucking, but the doctor,
she has said no.
Yeah. She keeps telling me she's too tired. I'm like, well, Jesus Christ, what have you been doing all day? She said, working. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, she's tired of your old ass. That's
why she's tired. Yeah, I think so. I think it's almost over.
No. Still have that one patient that was real sick?
Yeah. That guy, he still ain't died yet.
Because he's getting plenty of exercise.
The guy was over here the other day. And, man, it was getting kind of late, man. It was like 10 o'clock. I was like, I got to go to bed. And then I woke up at like 3 in the morning. They were sitting there watching TV.
were they naked?
No.
All right. Well,
it was under a cover. They were sharing a blanket. And I was like, what the hell is going on here? And she said, no. She said, it's for his therapy or some shit.
It's for his therapy.
I just went back to bed. I didn't care. But
that's a shame.
Hopefully, she had a new patient, too. Young dude. He's like 24. but he had like chronic something. Chronic some shit. Where is chronic? I don't know.
Sore groin.
I'm not exactly sure. But she said he had something wrong down there, but I don't know what it was. And she was nursing it back to health.
Oh, that's good. That's fine work. All right. What else, Ed? Because we got to talk about this movie we watched. Oh, it's a beauty.
Oh, which one? It's
called Hobgoblin.
Hobgoblin.
Knobgobbler. Yeah, I saw that one.
Inside Shirley's Temple and Knobgobbler. Double feature.
That's a double feature. I mean, you know what we should do? We should one day do a top 10 list of the best porno chicks.
Best porno chicks.
Yeah. Who's your favorite porno star?
I don't watch a lot of porn.
Well, you say you don't watch a lot, but you watch a little, so who do you like?
I don't like watch actual porn movies. Like, I am a connoisseur of naked pictures of ladies, but in terms of actual porn, I don't really.
Well, Polaroids of Indy Sarah don't count.
Now you tell me.
That's the only thing that poor guy jerks off to is some old black and whites of Indy Sarah. All day. She's got that fucking white makeup on, fucking gothic shit with wearing all black.
White makeup? What the fuck?
Fucking pussy hairy as a goddamn carpet.
So anyway, do you have a favorite porno chick, Ed?
Yeah.
Who would that be?
Let me look at her. I forget her name.
Yes, she's so close to your heart.
She was following me on Twitter. Rude, she hooked me up with her. And she lives in Vegas.
Wait, what's her? Did you say her name?
Can't remember. But she wrote to me one day on Twitter.
Oh, yeah?
Because I said something to her. Because she said she did it to James, Jim Brown, the running back, before he died.
Oh. Wow. Still getting it done. Even though you're an old man.
Okay. So I don't know.
All right. What else should we talk to the Ed about? Anything else? Jack, any questions for the Ed?
All right, give me one question.
What's a basketball?
Hey. Here, I was watching Ali G show the other day.
Holy hell.
And I watched the one where he had Kobe Bryant on there. And have you ever seen that one?
I never watched that show.
Well, it was pretty funny. Because he asked Kobe Bryant, the first question was, how many springs are in a basketball?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Kobe said, there ain't no springs, it's just air. And Ali G said, well, this room's full of air, how come we ain't bouncing?
That is comedy right there.
I almost fell out of my chair. Oh,
go back to Barney Miller.
Jesus Christ. All right, well, I got to go do some stuff with the dog.
All right, Ed. Well, thank you for calling, and I'm glad you're safe and healthy and you didn't get your head cut off in an auto accident. Although I will say this, Jank, doesn't it sound like it might be a Final Destination?
Final Destination? Situation?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. That's what my grandson said.
So
yeah, you may have wanted it here, but it might be coming back for you again.
Yeah, be careful out there, Ed. You know, be careful. All right, did he leave? Ed, did you leave? Oh no, he died right there on the show.
Oh, no.
Got him. All right, Ed.
You know, choked him to death.
I'm gonna hang up, Ed. Thank you, buddy. I guess he loved the show. All right. Yeah, thanks to the Ed. And it's always a treat when the Ed stops by.
Yeah.
All right. Hobgoblins.
Hobgoblins.
1988. is the year. An hour and 28 minutes, and this is available on Tubi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It gets a 2.2 out of 10 on IMDb.
That's about right.
Yeah.
The official description is a young security guard must track down diminutive aliens who kill people even as they make their fantasies come true. The writer-director here is a fellow named Rick Sloan, and on the movie poster it says prominent Rick Sloan film, so I knew we were in good hands because he's very good. Who the fuck is Rick Sloan? Oh, Rick Sloan is the guy who made all those Vice Academy movies.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and I can definitely see similarities between this and the Vice Academy in terms of pacing and the fact that nothing ever fucking happens. Oh, here's an interesting trivia note about this movie. So basically, it's just one of the many Gremlins ripoffs, right?
Yep. And,
although Rick Sloan says that he wrote the first draft of this before Gremlins came out. So.
I'm sure.
But basically, the Hobgoblins are gremlins from space. Is basically, they're aliens.
Yeah, kind of like critters. It was a similar concept as well.
And they look kind of similar to gremlins. Although I guess they said, reading the trivia notes on IMDb, it said that they based the creature's appearance on the person who did the music for the movie. They had their cats. So they based it on their cats.
Oh, I can kind of see that.
And here's another.
Also on the Gremlins.
Yes, the Gremlins and the cats. Yeah.
They are very much like the scaly, the green scaly Gremlins mixed with the Mogwai Gremlins. Like, just the combination of the two.
Yeah, they kind of got like white hair on their backs and their heads and stuff. But another interesting trivia note. The Hobgoblin puppets were operated by a woman who had just been released from a mental hospital.
That shows. That definitely tracks.
I think the budget for this movie was like $15,000 or something, and they shot it all in 1 week.
The thing is, all these movies that try to rip off Gremlins don't realize, or they seem to have forgotten, that Gremlins actually had really good puppet effects and really good special effects on the Gremlins. Like, they looked good.
Had Phoebe Cates, too, right?
Yeah.
I love Phoebe Cates.
Yeah, Judge Reinhold.
well, this movie here almost had, I think, John Carradine or David, one of them Carradine brothers, was almost the old security guard, but then he his agent wanted too much money. And then, you know, the sex phone lady, Fantasia?
Yeah, of course I do.
Almost Sybil Danning.
Oh!
You would have given us an automatic 10?
Yeah, that would have been one of my favorite movies ever. Sybil Danning is a phone sex operator. But she apparently, again, it was another money issue. She wasn't going to do it for the little money they had. So, but they wanted Sybil Danning to do it. So,
I can see why. That would have been a good choice.
But there is no one else famous in this movie, right?
No.
I think one of the Hobgoblins was a young Sean Astin.
Like, there is no one recognizable in this whatsoever. I think the lady they got to play Fantasia, the phone sex lady, some people might know her. Her name is Tamara Clatterbuck, but she's been on Days of Our Lives for several years and One Life to Live and stuff. Like, she's a soap opera actress or something, so maybe people would recognize her. But
The Susan Lucci of soap opera actors, never getting any awards.
Yeah, Hobgoblins. I guess they made a sequel, but the sequel didn't come out until 19 years later. So,
oh, really?
They had to let it fester a bit. And it's kind of like a Twin Peaks situation where they said they're going to come back. 19
we'll
years.
See you again in 19 years.
Oh, fucking hell, this movie.
There were moments I enjoyed in this.
You probably liked it because there's a lot of 80s music in this. That's probably what
That I liked. None of the stuff with the security guard, like at the movie studio, that all sucked. But like when it was the other characters, like at their house, that stuff kind of worked for me, especially the sound effects when they would go in the van.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose.
Nominees for both best song and best scene for this movie.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm interested in the best scene when we get there, because right now, off the top of my head, I got nothing for best scene out of this.
It's in the vein of Governor Gabby moving the dresser, I would say.
Yeah, nothing's coming to mind. All right, well, let's start out, Tuffy. This was your. Why did you choose this, Tuffy?
Because I went on Tubi, and this was in the recommended, I think, and I thought, hey, tick done, no problem.
Are those recommendations tailored to each user? Because that's really sad if they're recommending Hobgoblins. Like, we watch so many shitty movies.
But, yeah, they know exactly what kind of bullshit we watch. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, they know what we're up to.
Yep. I guess this movie kind of got...
Frank 2 is on Tubi, so we should watch that at some point.
Wait, what part 2 is on?
Frank 2 with Jason Statham. After we watch the Hobbs and Shaw, we can go down a Statham path.
But this here movie, Hobgoblins, I guess it kind of got famous a little bit. It was on Mystery Science Theater 3000, and so it had like a surge in popularity. But on IMDb, like a lot of times, it's ranked the second worst movie of all time, just beneath Geely with Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck.
I mean, have they seen The Creeping Terror?
Yeah,
because clearly,
yeah.
I think it's dropped down to like 25 or something now, or at least in the article I read, because that Rick Sloan guy says he hopes it doesn't drop too far because he wants it to be remembered. You know, it needs to be remembered for being terrible. So he just wants it
to be up there. Just wants a legacy of some kind.
Yeah. So, all right, Tuffy, since this is your movie, how do we start here with the Hobgoblins?
We got an old security guard and, he's got a young punk new coworker who's just listening to his headphones all the time, his rock and roll music.
And where do they work? We gotta go. This is like a film studio, right? I believe.
Yeah, it's an abandoned film studio, but it's still monitored by security. And there's one guy who works there, I guess.
Oh, and I also remember on the trivia notes, they said they filmed this. I forget where they said like the studio, what actually the building was, but right across the street was a crack house.
Oh, that's nice.
But anyway, so there's an old security guard and a young punk working in at it, taking care of this abandoned studio I don't know.
So they always have to have a security guard there. Otherwise, if anything happens, the insurance won't pay for it unless somebody was on watch.
Yeah.
It's very important to apply here. What little there is.
Yeah, so I guess their security rounds includes like walking through every building or something. They're not just patrolling the lots. They're going through the buildings.
Yeah, you know, you got to do your job, check the doors and everything, walk around. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're going through a couple hallways, up some stairs and whatnot, and they get to one spot, and the old guy tells the young kid, like, hey, never go down there. We can't go down there. I can't tell you why.
Yeah, like there's a vault down there, right? You can't go in near the vault or something. Yeah.
So then the old guy says, hey, I got to go check this other room. You just wait here for a minute. And he wanders off. And then the young guy, of course, goes into the vault. And next thing you know, he's a rock and roll superstar on the stage under the lights singing a song. Because he likes listening to that rock music on his headphones. And then I think we smash cut from there.
Well, he dies at the old point. Man.
Right. I think it's implied he dies. I don't think they show him dying, or maybe there's like sound effects of monsters, but we don't see the actual hobgoblins yet.
Okay, because I thought I missed it because I was like researching the movie, you know, reading up about it, and I looked up and I didn't even see what happened to the kid. And then I read Wikipedia. I was reading it, and they said, "Oh, that kid died." And I'm like, "Oh, all right. I guess I missed it. They just didn't show it." All right.
They may have shown the old guy with like a look of terror on his face or something, but I don't think they showed actually the guy.
Yeah, because the old man has to go talk to the boss. And this is where he tells him, as Jenks said, that now remember, we have to have a security guard because our insurance is voided. So if anything happens, we don't get the insurance payout.
Even though this place is old and we don't use it for anything, so I don't know why we're even bothering. Yeah.
So now they need another new security guard because that one's dead. And I guess there's no formal investigation into the death of that kid. They just hushed it up and.
Yeah.
I think he, I don't even think he told him that the kid died. He's just like, oh, he left. Like, or I had to let him go or something like that.
Apparently he had no family or no one expecting him home. All right. So now we got to get a new security guard in there. So now we get the hero of the movie or, the new security guy.
And yeah. I don't know any characters' names in this, despite having watched the whole movie.
Well, I know the one girl. What was her name?
I know Amy and Daphne, I guess. Yeah, Daphne. I don't know any male character names.
Daphne liked to have the sex. And Amy's a prim and proper young lady. And Amy's the girlfriend of the hero of the film, who we'll call, I don't know, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
And by the way, I've been talking to Jim Iovino a little bit because of our fantasy hockey league. I should probably invite him back on the show, see if he comes this time. That son of a bitch.
Yeah. He could be here right now. You just wouldn't know it.
But, so Jimmy, the security guard, he's dating Amy. Now, it's weird. Like, he lives with Amy in this house? Like, this is their house?
Yeah. Very unclear. Seems like.
But apparently they don't have sex.
No. Definitely don't.
Yet he lets her live in his house. And they're not having sex.
And he lets his friend kind of call the sex line and jerk off, presumably.
So, yeah, this whole movie's weird.
Even weirder is like he doesn't actually jerk off. He just called it. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I'll save this for later.
Well, I feel Sybil Danning. He would have been jerking off. But
Yeah.
It's also important to note that when we see Jimmy at the studio for the first time, the old man tells him, hey, just so you know, we do have a gun here. Look at this.
trivia note about the movie. That gun was purchased at it was a $5 cap gun. It wasn't a real gun. So
my illusions have been shattered.
Yeah. But those were real hobgoblins.
Oh, thank God.
We don't even see the hobgoblins till a good 40 minutes into this fucking movie.
Yeah, no, it is like 40 minutes long before we see a hobgoblin.
It was long. There was a long fucking. Yeah. Then we go we go back home. The security
it's
guard.
It's got to be at least half an hour before we actually see the hobgoblins.
Yeah, I would say so. It was long. So, the kid goes back home, but his girlfriend's there, and she's like, oh, he brought a movie home for them to watch, but no, your friends are here. And his friends are Daphne, the slutty girl, and this nerd guy who calls the sex hotlines. Now, the nerd guy, he's wearing pink shorts. And also a trivia note, those were the actor's pink shorts. They were his shorts.
Oh.
So, yeah.
That was his choice.
Well, do they seem like they would hang out together? Like, why is that nerd guy in the pink shorts and the slutty girl friend? Why are they friends, and why do they hang out and go over to his house together? That seems odd.
Yeah.
Assuming
maybe she was Jimmy's girlfriend's friend, and
he is the girlfriend's friend.
Yeah.
But no, because when he comes home, Amy meets him at the door, and she says, your friends are here. Like, she doesn't say my friend and your friend. She said your friends are here.
But when Amy's getting real slutty later, she says everyone always just calls me Daphne's friend.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So maybe there's just some
I'm thinking the writer just didn't know what they were doing or keep track of the characters.
Yeah, I'm guessing the script isn't as tight as it could have been. All right. So anyway, that's the situation here. They go home. And, Daphne's all upset because the movie he brought home, it's not an X-rated movie because her boyfriend – I think his name may have been Jimmy.
He would never bring home anything that's got less than a single X rating.
Yeah, he would at least have an X in it.
Yeah.
Now I got to look up their name because I think her boyfriend's name may have been Jimmy. Or is it?
I think her boyfriend was Nick, it looks like.
I think the main guy's Nick. Or no, Nick is. Yeah, Kevin's
the main guy's
name
is Kevin?
Nick's the army guy, yeah.
Yeah, Nick.
And then Kyle's the phone sex guy.
See, never trust a guy named Kyle. I say it all the time. You never trust a guy named Kyle. But, Nick, Daphne's boyfriend Nick is like an army guy. And he's been away for 2 months. So you know what that means. And that's what she says. And then,
yeah.
And then he shows up. And he just starts thrusting his hips when he gets out of the van. Like he's ready to bang. And Daphne runs out on the front porch, and she does this little dance. She just shakes her hips back and forth. It was pretty funny.
I like later on, I think when he rolls up, like she like just pulls her skirt up and then like runs outside. Like it was really good.
And she just runs and jumps on him and wraps her legs around him. And then he takes her. Do they go right to the van right away, or is that?
No, first they
come in and he tells him about the army.
Yeah. They let him see the guns. He hasn't actually shot them yet, but they're all very impressed that he got to be around the guns. The main guy's like, well, I got a gun at my job. And his girlfriend's like, yeah, whatever. I'm all about this Nick guy.
I know it's a cap gun you got from a toy store for $5. It's not a real gun. And yeah, while this is going on, Kyle.
How about Nick teaches you something? Like, oh, yeah, yeah. This is where we get Kyle's first interlude.
Yeah, he goes and calls the sex hotline. It's a lady named Fantasia, a good looking blonde lady. Okay. She's sitting at a desk, and she just answers the phone.
Yeah. Kyle tells all his friends he has to go call his girlfriend, and they all say, well, are we ever going to meet this girlfriend?
Yeah, she's from Canada or something. You don't know
but,
her.
But Kevin knows, because he has to call the phone company every month to say, why are these phone sex charges on my phone bill?
Yeah. I don't know how the phone company is taking those off. Clearly he's making these calls.
Do you think the Ed's wife has to do that? Like every month she calls the phone. Why are all these? So yeah, and then when do they have the sex though? Do they?
They want Nick to teach him something. Like he could teach you some combat training, and then they're like, let's go out in the yard. And this scene was tremendous. I love this part.
Yeah, this is the best scene. Okay.
Yeah,
rake fight. Rake fight.
Didn't we see a movie similar to this where there was like a rake fight at some point? Or
yes. I can't remember. Oh, it was not Death Spa, but the other one.
The guy gets knocked into a swimming pool then at some point.
Yeah, okay. I think it was Killer Workout.
That sounds right. Yeah, I think you got it. That sounds right.
Yeah. Yep, that was a great rake fight. Yeah.
But yeah, they're having a race
fight. This one kind of takes the cake, yeah, because he's got like I think he's got a hoe, and Nick's got like a rake or something like that.
And yeah, they're like, doing okay, like
you block
like
all
American
my
American gladiators, like with the Q-tip,
thing yeah,
like that.
Using them like bow staffs, essentially.
Yeah. It went on for a good bit, probably a good minute.
It sure did.
Yeah.
It's not quite the fight and they live, but you know, close, because it just kept going on. And it was one of those things where like it's not that funny on its own, but the way they kept doing it for so long started making it fun.
Yeah. And the way he takes him out at the end is he just pokes him in the belly with the point of the handle. Like a straight poke to the belly. And he's like, oh, he stabs him with it.
Oh, that falls down. That was basically
he knocks him down a couple times, shot. And Kevin gets back up to keep fighting.
Hey, Kevin, it's not whether you win or lose; it's how many times you get up. You know, just keep getting up. But
yeah, because after the rake fight, that's when they go to the van because Kevin's talking to Amy in the foreground, and the van is just rocking in the background.
Yeah, Daphne got real horny seeing her man win a rake fight. She's like, "All right, let's go," and they go off.
And Amy, the prim and proper lady.
Says,
I'm pissed off that you didn't win.
How could you not really win a rake fight? Yeah.
Where you were just supposed to be blocked.
The guy who just finished army basic training.
Yeah, and he says, I've never used one of those before or something like that. He's like, I've never. That was my first rake fight. Cut me some slack, lady.
That was my first hoe. Clearly you're not one. You're not putting out at all.
You're living in my house for some reason. So so now he's mad at her, and she's disappointed in him, and but Daphne's getting pounded in the van, and what's the sound effect? Can you remember, Jen? Can you remember what the exact sound effect?
Like a springy kind of boingy,
yeah,
a springy type thing. Boing.
Yeah. Boing, 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 boing.
It was tremendous. I loved it.
So
over the top.
All right. Now, what even happens now?
I don't know. Kevin's back at work now, and him and the old man are sitting around in a... Guy wanders over looking suspicious in his leather jacket.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. There's a ne'er-do-well who was going to break into the film studio.
Yeah.
And they saw him on the closed-circuit cameras. And they're like, all right, we got to go take care of this, you know? So the old man goes in.
Jumps in the golf cart to zoom right over there.
But the ne'er-do-well, he just grabs the old man and gets the better of him, and he, like, is about to stab him in the belly. Yeah. He's got a knife on him. And but Kevin runs over. Let's call him Kev, because I know that makes people cooler if their name's Kevin. I'm Kev. Yeah, so Kev goes over, and he pulls out his gun, and the ne'er-do-well says, you don't know how to use that. And I think it's pretty easy to figure out how to use a gun. You just pull that trigger thing. But so Kev.
Yeah, but Kev also clearly doesn't know how to use it.
Because he points it straight up in the air and like, pulls the trigger. But then the ne'er-do-well is scared and he's like, oh, he does know how to use a gun. So then he runs off.
He figured out the complicated trigger.
Yeah. So then, but Kevin, the old guy, like bonding now, I guess, because he saved his life or whatever, right? I don't know. Something like
that. Yeah, but now they got to go track down this ne'er-do-well because he's still on the lot somewhere.
So they're looking for him, and then, but doesn't Kev goes down to that damn vault, right? Is that what happens?
I think he's chasing the guy down there. I think the idea was the guy opened the vault and Kev's going after him.
Ah, okay. Might want to put a better lock on that vault. It's not much of a vault if everyone can just open it. So, but the reason they can't open the vault, though, Jank, is why?
Oh, the hobgoblins are in there. Yeah. The old man has been keeping them trapped in there all these years. He started this job when he was a young man, and now he's been wasting his life. Yeah.
Does he like, feed and water them, or, like, how are they still alive, these hobgoblins?
I don't know.
Maybe they're aliens. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
On some bright lights, and they're good to go.
But now, yeah, the hobgoblins are on the loose now, you know? And the old man's like, we got to get them hobgoblins back.
There's a real big exposition dump here where he tries to explain everything about these hobgoblins, and it goes real quick.
Yeah. And it still doesn't make sense.
No.
Why do the hobgoblins make people's dreams come to a reality? Like,
it's unclear.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What do they get out of that?
They're just trying to fuck with people. Yeah. I don't know.
They're just dicks.
just in it for the mischiefs.
The monkey shines and the shenanigans. All right, yep. So that's the movie now. They got to get them hobgoblins back.
Yeah, they're escaped into the city, and of course, they all go right to his friends.
Yeah, they go to the Kev's house. They go right to Kev's house. What are the odds?
The man was like, oh, the only way you'll know that, you know, someone has encountered a hobgoblin is they'll start acting out of character. Like, oh, good thing they went to the people he would know how they would act. that's handy.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't they make it like they like, you know, stowed away in the trunk of his car or something? So then when he went home.
Right.
But yeah, the hobgoblins are at his house before
he... They were visiting him at work or something like that, and then they went home with them.
But, nope. The hobgoblins just picked his house out of all the entire city.
Yeah.
And, so who do they start fucking... Oh, well, Daphne.
Kyle are having a little party there. Yeah, the hobgoblins show up outside. Yeah.
They're just dancing in the living room to 80s music. So, Jank, did you get up and start dancing when you heard that? Did you, like,
yeah. I had to. I learned all of those pop and lock moves from the Mr. T video, so I was busting those out.
You're nobody's fool. what did he call that when the kid tripped?
Yeah, recouping.
He recouped the shit out of that, Jank. Good job. So, all right, but then the hobgoblins, they know that Daphne's biggest dream is she just wants to bang her boyfriend again. So the one hobgoblin's outside the window with the horn, and he's honking the horn like her boyfriend's van. And she goes running outside thinking it's her boyfriend's van. But then the Hobgoblin just jumps. He's like,
well, first, her good friend Amy brings out her jacket that she forgot, and Daphne gets real pissed off that Amy brought her a jacket.
Yeah, because she's mad her boyfriend's not out there. She thought she was going to get some sweet, sweet loving, and then she's not. And she's like, fuck.
I need those spring noises again. God damn it.
But then the Hobgoblin, was the Hobgoblin attempting to rape her or murder her?
I don't know.
They didn't have enough movement to be able to tell what the hell they were actually after. It was mostly just, you know, hold this Hobgoblin like it's attacking you, and that's about it. That's all we can do.
Hey, you know who could have won a rake fight, though, is Daphne, because she rolls, she pushes that Hobgoblin off, she grabs a hoe, and she beats the fuck out of that Hobgoblin. Now, I assume she killed that Hobgoblin, because then she runs inside, and they're like, hey, what's going on? And then a different Hobgoblin or the same Hobgoblin just comes jumping right through the door again, right? I think.
Yeah, I think a couple of them do, because I think they're all struggling with them for a little bit.
Yeah.
All three of them.
And Kev shows up, maybe, I want to say.
Yeah. Kev shows up.
I think Nick shows up first, and he sees them, and they're like, oh, they're doing some weird dance in there.
Oh, that's right. He goes, oh, it's kinky. It looks kinky.
Yeah.
But they're just fighting the Hobgoblin. And he thinks it's a new dance. So, yeah. I'm already tired of talking about this movie.
Yeah, I can't remember if it's this turn or later at the club where Nick asks if Amy and Daphne want to make three.
Oh, yeah, that comes up a couple of times, I feel like.
Well, I know the one guy at the club says three's not my number. Because, yeah, Amy turns into a slut then, because that's her biggest dream, I guess, is to be a slut. And
It's also weird, because it makes it seem like Nick's biggest dream is to make three, but it turns out it's to be like an army guy with grenades in the club.
He wanted to actually use the guns, I guess.
I don't. How far, Jank, do you want to really get into this? Can you just talk about the rest of the week? I don't know. How much longer?
Well, Nick, the Hobgoblins catch up with Kyle back on the sex line. And then Fantasia shows up in person, says, come outside. And they drive to Reputation Road, and Fantasia tries to push the car off the cliff.
Yeah, and Kev overhears that they're going to Reputation Road, and he rows in and goes, where's Reputation Road? And Daphne knows immediately. She's given directions.
Yeah.
She's like, I got a P.O. box there. Spend so much time. Yeah, and it's weird because, like, Fantasia is, like, not strong enough to push this car over the thing, but she's clearly strong enough to, like, knock away Kevin in, like, one shot. Just, like, one-handed, bam,
well,
knock this guy flying. Like,
Kevin's a pussy. Kevin's a pussy. Well, what I want to know is, how does that Hobgoblin just show up there? Like, the Hobgoblin is just sitting on a sign then at Reputation Lane or whatever. Like, how did they get around at these Hobgoblins? I don't know.
Like, at one point I thought the Hobgoblins were shape-shifting into these people in their fantasies, but I don't think they were. I think they were just separate entities.
Yeah, because he was just chilling on that sign.
In the back seat. I don't know.
He was just sitting on that sign watching it all, like, jerking off or whatever. And then Kev hits him with a stick or something, right? Or someone hits him with a stick. And then that
Hits him with the rake, I think. Yeah.
This is a big rake movie.
Rake bait.
So, yeah, that's, I don't know. And then they got to find Amy. They turned her into like a slut. He's going
to they go to Club Scum.
I like that the phone sex line was like 1-900-SKAG or something like that, like 976-SKAG.
But then, Jack, they go to this club, and there's like, it's like an 80s band. They really want to be the B-52s, this band. And they're up on the stage. And like, this music number went on for I don't know how long. I didn't time it. But it was very long.
Yeah. And there was really nothing happening in between. Yeah, it's not like, oh, while this is happening, we're having a fight scene or something. Like, no. It's just like we're watching this band perform.
It's like an intermission. You could get off, get your popcorn, come back. There's still another fucking song. Good God. I don't know. But anyway,
Kiss Kicker 99 for best song, though.
Oh, really? Kiss Kicker? Oh, weren't the lyrics something like there's 99 girls or 99?
And my fist ain't one.
He says something about 99 girls. And
yeah, and 99 boys, I thought.
Oh, I didn't hear that part. But anyway.
They've gone past making three, and they're all the way up to 198.
So when they're done singing the song, though, Amy gets caught up, and she's going to strip, right? Is that what she's going to do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Sincere is her stage name.
That's a pretty good name. That might be one of my favorite porn stars.
Amy Sincere. Yeah.
So they, of course,
she never does, though. Not big on the nudity.
Yeah, no nudity at all in this kind of film, and that's one of the reasons you watch this kind of film is to see nudity. And So she starts to perform, but then they show up and they try to stop her. But like you said, the hobgoblins are causing trouble though, because they make Nick have his, like, he's living the dream of like being in the army. Or no, does his old army guy show up? I don't know. I was all very confused throughout all this.
Yeah. How much of that was a fantasy and how much was real? Because his sergeant is at the club.
Yeah, his sergeant shows up and he starts kind of hitting on Daphne, right? And Daphne and
wants her to join the USO and bang like all the army guys throughout the night. Like if you start now, you'd be finished by morning with all of them.
And there's some pervy guy at the club. He wants to get with Amy, and then Kev tries Road to stop. Rash. Yeah, and then when Kev finds him, he's like, "Hey, three's not my number." So he walks out. And then I don't. How do they snap Amy out of it? Do they just? I don't know. Can't really remember.
I don't remember. I think everyone just kind of gets like knocked on the head and they're okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, I guess we're
Nick
towards the end.
Blown up at some point.
Yeah. And then he's running around on fire. And clearly he's dead, but nope, he comes back later on just on crutches.
Yeah, just a little bit bloody.
Some slight burn on like his arm, but mostly looking pretty good for a guy who was fully on fire.
How do they get the hobgoblins back to the movie studio? Do they trap them in something?
Because
I remember the end of the movie, they're back at the studio and they put them in a vault, right? And they blow everything up.
Yeah.
I think they just kind of went back on their own because they knew they'd been defeated.
Defeated.
Yeah. Like, oh, you got us.
So, yeah, that's basically the movie. The old guy blows up the building, right? I don't know.
Using munitions.
Well, first he gets fired, so he's no longer on duty. That's very important.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he calls me. There was nobody. Like, you let me go, so now the insurance company is not going to cover this explosion. Good luck, jackass.
That's basically the end of the movie, right? Film credits roll.
Yeah. So, close enough.
Yeah, I hated this.
Bust open for Hobgoblin 2.
This movie very much is Vice Academy, like USA Up All Night, those kind of movies. You guys are too young probably to remember USA Up All Night. I think we've talked about it before, but it was just so fucking slow. Good Lord.
Yeah.
That it was, yeah. I will say it was pretty slow, but there were moments, brief moments where it came to life for me, so.
I guess the rake fight, Daphne always being slutty was kind of funny. The van, I guess, boing, boing, yeah. Boing, boing.
Yeah. Love that.
But, man, the hobgoblins were, like, interesting at all. You know, just,
no. Yeah, the gremlins had personality. These things really did not. They were just kind of there. Like, they were no Uncle
Impy. I don't think it helped that they had no articulation to them, and they were just, like, stiff puppets that you couldn't do anything with.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, not a fan of this. Tuffy, what do you think?
Yeah.
I'll give it a 3, because the rake fight was good.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll go 2, I guess. But that feels generous. Jen?
Yeah.
You know what? For the rake fight and the boingy boingy noises, I'm going to give it a 4. Got some genuine laughs out of me, so.
So it averages out to a 3. But yeah, this was not an enjoyable movie. All right, Jack, you're up next week.
Oh, I'm not going to be here next week, so.
Oh,
somebody will have to.
Ooh. What are the odds that Larry comes back so quickly?
Low. Very low.
Yeah.
What if we watch Pitch Perfect 2 or something? Do you think we can get him?
That might get him, but... I mean, he's probably going to watch Pitch Perfect 2 anyways, but...
Because he wants to come talk about it here.
Well, I'll see what I can do, but yeah. If not, maybe we'll have Miles Watson warming up in the bullpen. Get him in.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you... Yeah, that's right. I asked the Jack if he's out getting it done next week, you know? Yeah. But he said no.
He's probably going to be in church because it's Good Friday.
Of course.
Is it work? I thought maybe a lady noticed his bagging skills at the grocery store. I'm still kicking myself over that one. Yeah.
That hurts.
Yeah.
There's only so many of those opportunities left in your life, Mike, though.
I know. That was probably the last one.
But what would you have said if you had paid better attention? Do you have a go-to you would have been like?
I would say, oh, hey, what do you need help bagging your groceries? You know, there you go. I'll help you bag yours, you know.
And I'll show you tricks.
Nicely bagged.
My real skill is tea bagging. Want to see that?
One, Letterman did a thing where they had like, they're looking for new catchphrases. And one of them, they had this old lady come out, and she said, "Nicely packed, bag boy." And they were trying to make that the new catchphrase. So, but like, that's what I was expecting, because usually when someone's talking to me, because remember I told you that story of the guy when I had to buy the, what was I buying, a ham for like Christmas dinner for my family? And you know, and the guy started talking to me about hams. Remember? I don't know.
I do remember that story. So, yeah.
Like, that kind of stuff happens to me at the grocery store. Weirdos are talking. I just assumed it was a weirdo talking to me. And I was like, all right, yeah.
Yeah. Then,
oh, wait, that's exactly my kind of lady right there. She's like my type.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a real kick in the balls. So I just feel terrible about it, you know?
Maybe she's listening to this radio show right now.
She's one of the three listeners. And then she's kicking herself. That was 1-9 at the grocery store? I should have really stepped it up harder. Yeah.
Keep an eye out around that hockey rink, Mike Dell, for any people hiding behind the bushes watching you shoot hockey.
Yeah. Well, I've had many people tell me I'm really good at shooting hockey out there, but usually they're old guys or little kids.
Yeah.
That's the only problem. It was your bagging skills that were really your best asset.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I do. I have to take a job bagging groceries just in the case she shows up again.
Yeah, there you go. Be like, I took your advice.
So anyway, what else? We had our big. How did you think the fantasy draft went, Tuffy?
Yeah, I went pretty good, I'd say.
It was only like an hour long. It went so fast.
Yeah, outside of like. I didn't know a lot of people in the first place, but once we got past like the second round, I didn't know anyone.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to take guys from good teams and hope for the best. Like, like I knew like five teams that were supposed to be good or something. I'm like, all right, I'll just look for guys on those teams.
Yeah, at some point I realized I need to get closers so I can get saves. And then I realized I don't know any closers. I don't know who closes for.
Here's the Mayday Malone philosophy on fantasy baseball, Tuffy, and I've won many, many championships. I just draft home run hitters and closers.
Yeah.
That's all I do. That's all I do. So I got my home, I'm loaded with home run hitters, and I've got like five premier closers, like five of the top 10 ranked closers are on my team.
Ooh.
But then I noticed that three of them are already injured. So that's good. It's not ideal. You know, but hopefully they'll. But it's weird because baseball season started the other day because they had games in Korea. But now,
yeah,
like the actual baseball season doesn't start for like another week or so yet, which is strange.
Yeah.
Like that makes no sense. I don't understand. Like the Dodgers played games that count. Now they have to go back and play grapefruit spring training games.
Yeah. Huh.
So weird.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah. Because, like, the reason I scheduled the draft when I did is I thought I saw the season was starting. So I'm like, oh, we got to do the draft now. But I guess you have to do it because I would have missed out on a Manny Machado dinger. Cranked.
Ooh.
So anyway. All right. There's your baseball. Who'd you get in the first round there, Tubby? I don't even remember.
And are that's they a good question?
And are they entangled in a gambling conspiracy at all?
Because no, that's they are.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Let's see. My first pick was.
Let's see if I can guess. Looking at my roster, who was my first pick?
I should hope so. Otherwise, you
didn't. Freddie Freeman, probably.
Yeah, Freddie Freeman. I almost dropped because I know Freddie Freeman. He was playing baseball the last time I was in a fantasy baseball league, so I know that guy. But
and then at a certain point, I was just going to start drafting Cubs, and that son of a bitch Brandon took Dansby Swanson on me.
Dansby Swanson. Yeah, good old Dansby. Yeah, cousin Brandon. That son of a bitch. Hey, maybe we'll get Brandon on the show next week.
Yeah.
Oh. I'll be sad to miss that.
Maybe.
Sure, that'll happen.
But we'll see.
You can book him.
Because right away, as soon as we get in the chat room and the draft, the fantasy draft board, Brandon sees me and goes, hey, Dale, when am I coming on the show? Right away, first thing he says. And I say, Brandon, you're invited every week, buddy.
Anytime you stay awake past 8 p.m. on a Friday.
I don't know. Larry drafted a couple. I thought I drafted more Pirates than Larry, but I think he drafted one more Pirate than I did. Three. I think it was 3-2. I checked. Yeah. So he's still in the Pirates.
It's racing towards the bottom, apparently.
Yeah. Trying to think if there's any other notable.
I took too many starting pitchers, not enough relievers. I'm going to have to be real active watching when people are starting in my lineup.
I just think starters, they tend to get hurt a lot, and you can usually find them, you know? So,
yeah.
I lean heavy bullpen and home run hitters. Because Sam Malone was a relief pitcher, you know? So the Mayday Malones, we build on relief pitching. That's our philosophy.
Yeah, I always, fantasy baseball, I always went for position flexibility so I can move guys around.
Yeah, that does come in handy, especially with the short bench, you know.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll keep you updated as this season goes along.
Yeah, I'm going to forget that I have a team 3 weeks into the season and not update anything.
Well, my fantasy hockey league, I think playoffs start next week. So I think I'm going to finish. I'll be in the playoffs in that one. And I'm the defending champion over there. But, of course, my team is anchored by Penguins. So that's not good. That's not good.
Yeah.
They fucking stink.
Yeah. Are they done, Mike Dell?
In spirit, yes. Not mathematically or like they still have a, they have 14 games left. If they go like 10-4, they could still get in, I think. But the odds of them doing that are very, very slim because they are a terrible hockey team. So yeah. I don't think it's going to happen. All right. Jank, what have you been up to this week, buddy?
Not a whole lot.
That's right. You told me that yesterday. That's right. We did flea market.
Yeah, the usual bullshit. Playing some Xbox.
Did you watch any more Cheers?
Not really, no. You know what I've been watching? I've been trying to watch that new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, even though I haven't seen many of the old ones. But
been very good this year.
Oh, really?
Has?
Yeah, Jank seems less than enthused. Maybe it's just that the previous couple seasons have been really bad, so this one seems good in comparison.
It could be. This feels closer to the original Curb, I feel like.
Hmm.
Or just Larry getting into situations.
Yeah. A lot of it just seems kind of, I don't know, hacky and old. Like, all-you-can-eat buffet and, like, Leon's eating too much and they kick him out. It's like, okay, haven't seen that on every sitcom ever.
I don't know. But hey, what about that X-Men 97, Jank? Are you excited about this? I hear a lot of people talking about this.
I don't know. I like the old show, but it seems like this one they're trying to load it up with nonsense. Like they made Morph non-binary or something.
Oh, for fuck's sake. What is going on? Why do we have to have that?
I don't want to do this. Show? Yeah, I don't know. But supposedly, like I heard that, I don't know, spoiler alert, I guess, but I guess at the end of the second episode, I heard that, like Cyclops is, you know, married to Jean Grey and they're having a baby. They have little baby Nathan, and the real Jean Grey comes back, and it turns out that was a clone. So I guess that was Madeline Pryor, although she was thought she was Jean Grey. So it's like, ooh, that's awkward.
Huh. But isn't that the way it really happened? But except in the comics, he had the kid with Madeline Pryor, but she knew she was Madeline Pryor.
Yeah, he didn't think that was, you know, Jean Grey. Okay. Yeah, so this seems like that makes it even more awkward to be like, oh, yeah. About that. I don't know. The animation style also looks kind of weird. It's not my favorite. Like, they tried to, like,
it looks very similar to the previous, like the original, right? I mean,
I don't know. It looks more cartoony to me. Like, they did the opening theme song, I guess, is supposed to be a lot, you know, like the old one, and they kind of, I've seen panels like that, you know, side by side comparisons of the two, and it just looks too, I don't know, new style, and I'm not a big fan of it.
Ooh. All right. I saw a little clip of it, on Twitter, because I saw it was trending or something, or Cyclops was trending. I'm like, why the fuck would Cyclops be trending? So I clicked on, I guess people were all excited because they show his eye blast, and they're, it's showing it as a concussive energy beam instead of like a laser beam that burns thing, you know, like a concussive force, which is what it's supposed to have always been, you know?
Yep.
So it's, people are excited about that.
They did that.
I read something about it and it linked to like, you know, the original theme song, which then YouTube showed me a video called Jean Grey is Useless. And it was just like a 10-minute compilation of Jean fucking things up.
She really was on that show, which is insane because she's probably the most powerful one on the team. But
yeah,
she was useless.
But she's
a
girl.
They never let her like leave the headquarters most of the time.
Go read some early Fantastic Four. Sue Storm was not treated equally. Hey, Susie, is dinner ready yet? That's a lot of that going on. I mean. But Tuffy, you seem very excited when I mentioned the X-Men 97, so...
I read something that said it was good because it's like the original X-Men, but if Jank's reporting there is correct, I'm less excited about it.
Yeah. Also, I think in like the trailer for it, I remember there was a part where like Gambit was like riding on Wolverine's back and seemed to be charging up his claws.
Yeah, he does charge up his claws in that clip I saw.
And he would and blow up. Would I mean,
explode,
Wolverine
yeah.
Kill, but, like,
yeah,
that's not good.
Hey, that is a good comic book question, though. What if he charged up his? Would his claws? Would adamantium explode?
I don't think you could
it
destroy
would.
It, but I think there would be an explosion.
Wolverine's skin would blow off of his skeleton.
Yeah, but then he would regrow it back. I've never seen that happen in the comic.
Huh. But that sounds painful for Wolverine.
Yeah, and what's the benefit? Like, adamantium can already cut through anything. What do you need to also make it explosive for? Pretty sure.
I feel like Wolverine would just be handing him packs of cards every day, like, here, I'm not sure you have enough of these since you blew me up, you fucking idiot.
Hey, here's a sack of nickels. Go nuts. Don't you be using this on
you want to blow something up? Here's Cyclops' visor.
There you go. But all right, so X-Men 97. What is this on? Like, is it
Disney Plus?
Disney Plus, I think.
Oh, that would make sense. All right, Disney Plus.
Now, the one good thing I have heard is that it seems to be very much doing the kind of Uncanny X-Men 200-ish era, which I know is a big, you know, a thing for you, because the old series ended with Professor X going to space because he was, you know, sick and dying.
Okay.
So Lalandra took him to space. Magneto became kind of the headmaster of the thing. I believe one of these early episodes is basically the trial of Magneto. And I guess Storm does have the Mohawk, although she's kind of wearing the same old white costume she had back in the day. But I believe in one of these episodes she gets, you know, she loses her powers. So they're kind of doing that arc.
Okay, that's all cool. But like, aren't there like, is a Bishop in this stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, the so team's definitely different, but.
Yeah, it fucks it all up, so.
Right. Yep. But if you got, you know, Madeline Pryor and Mohawk Storm without her powers and Magneto running the team, it looks like he's wearing the same costume he was wearing in that Trial of Magneto issue.
The big M on it?
Yeah, yeah.
I always like how that's. that's the go-to for comic book creators when they're kind of trying to costume for somebody. Just put the initial of whatever his name is. Just put it real big.
Yeah.
In case they forget their name, they can look down.
Classic.
No one thinks to put a stalk of broccoli on your chest. I guess so.
Not until you came along in that cartoon.
That's true.
Geez. That's the reboot Disney Plus needs to do next. Reboot those cartoons.
Didn't they have toilet paper on this or something? Or like a toilet paper roll or something?
That sounds about right.
Is that on your head, maybe?
Yeah, he had something on his head for a while, too, like a doghouse or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm imagining all this. I don't know. But, yeah. Hey, speaking of broccoli, I've already booked. I'm getting it tomorrow, the Chinese food again, the broccoli and garlic sauce.
So. How are they going to mess up the order?
I know. So we'll see if you want to close your bets. See how it goes. But,
Speaking of the X-Men, though, I did hear a rumor today. I want to get your guys' opinion on this.
All right. This will be good.
I heard a rumor about somebody who may be playing a variant of Wolverine in Wolverine and Deadpool.
A variant of Wolverine? What does this mean? Oh, you mean from a different timeline, that kind of deal?
Yeah, exactly. A different universe. But that he may continue on to play Wolverine in the MCU proper.
Is he Danny DeVito? Because I would approve that because he's 5'3". Like, Wolverine is supposed to be 5'3".
Yep.
So...
it is not, but he does share the same first name, Daniel Radcliffe.
Harry Potter as well.
Harry, I think I'm good with that.
He's also pretty short. I think about 5'5".
I am not good with that.
He's jacked these days.
Is he jacked? Is he really?
I think he can get jacked.
But if he's not jacked, but his body type is skinny little guy. Is he going to be?
Yeah, like, he's muscly looking now.
But I did 100 pull-ups again today, you know. So I'm kind of like ripped for a skinny guy. But is he like jacked? Because Wolverine's a big, bulky guy, you know?
He's bulky, but I would say he's defined muscle-wise, you know?
Yeah, he's kind of stocky, I guess, a little bit.
But you, like, I don't think Daniel Radcliffe's ever going to be a stocky, muscular guy. He's always going to be a skinny, muscular guy.
I could see it kind of working. The first time she saw me, I was like, I don't know about
Harry Potter.
Yeah,
I don't know. Google search Daniel Radcliffe no shirt, and yeah,
and that's not the first time he googled that. Is he jacked? Is he properly jacked?
Yeah, he was in something called Miracle Workers, which I think was like a comedy where he was playing some exaggerated version of Daniel Radcliffe, probably.
Let's get Emma Watson in this if we're doing something Harry Potter. Let's give.
You want her to be Wolverine?
She'll be Rachel Summers, maybe.
Yeah. Why not?
Kitty Pryde. She could be a Kitty Pryde.
If you Google Daniel Radcliffe Miracle Workers and click on images, you'll see a good Wolverine teaser image, I would say.
I could see him just kind of gruffing up his voice a little bit. I think it could work.
Not you guys are Harry Potter marks.
You grew up you look at this picture of Daniel Radcliffe in his whitey tighty underwear. And I'm telling you, that could be Wolverine.
All right, now I got to do this just to see if this is.
Now we're all on a watch list.
I'm on a lot of watch. Yeah, he is Jack there. Holy hell.
Someone's
hitting the HGH or steroids.
Yeah. I mean, you're also thinking of him as like a 16-year-old, so he was going to be skinny there.
Yeah. I suppose.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see what he's got. Is this a done deal, or is this just, you said a rumor?
I heard it was a rumor, yeah. I'm not sure if this is legit or not, but I don't know. It kind of works.
I just want someone who is height appropriate. Like, I loved Hugh Jackman. He did a really good job, but he's just too big.
Yeah, agreed. I just want somebody who's a short wrecking machine.
Yes.
And go in there and...
Like, his height was such a big part of the character, you know, like that he was a little guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Among the reasons Cyclops is better.
Cyclops he can reach
the higher shelves at the grocery store. That's why he's the leader.
I don't know. Hey, Tuffy, I'm still watching Taskmaster.
Yeah.
Season 12 I started.
Oh, I have not started season 12 yet. You finally passed me.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm like two episodes into season 12. It's very good. This has potential to be my favorite season. Or I guess I'm three episodes in. It's just everybody on the cast is pretty funny or likable, you know? And like, there's a lady on there named Morgana Robinson who is very, very cute and very funny. And she just seems awesome. Like she's like 40 or whatever. You're like my age. So,
yeah,
but she just seems really cool.
The kind of lady who appreciates some good grocery bagging.
Yeah. Like the kind of lady you want to hang out with, you know, this lady. So Morgana Robinson. So I'm a big fan of her. So, I'm liking this season 12. It's got big time potential here. So, and then I sent something to Tuffy on the Twitters this week. Apparently, all these British comedians are on Taskmaster. Every year they get together and they do some charity event called The Wrestling, or they put on a pro wrestling event. And this past year they had the main people from the Taskmaster on there, and they helped out. But they did like basically a pro wrestling show with like four matches. And they actually had, what's her name? Is it Nina Samuels?
Aisling B?
Oh, yeah, my girl Aisling B. She was one of the commentators. And but all the Taskmaster comedians are like involved basically, and but they had Nina Samuels, who was in NXT UK. She's actually a professional wrestler. She wrestled somebody, and then the main event is like an 8-person elimination. It's pretty entertaining though, so I would recommend it. It's on YouTube if you're into Taskmaster, and you like, especially if you like wrestling. But even if you don't, because it's pretty funny. So they're cracking wise and making jokes and whatnot. They make a lot of references to Taskmaster and stuff. So. You should definitely check it out there, Tuffy.
Yeah.
But what else? I've been listening to more old radio shows. That's about it.
Yeah.
Tuffy?
I watched the three episodes of WWE Biography on A&E.
Cool. All right.
Sergeant Slaughter, who just really, really likes wrestling, is basically what it comes down to.
Well, yeah, there is controversy because people thought he was actually in the Marines, but no, he was never in the Marines. It's just his gimmick, you know?
Well, yeah, because that came up because, like, he does interviews and they would ask him, so were you in the Marines? And he would say, yeah, I did three tours in Vietnam. And then he would explain a thing. Well, yeah, the character, Sergeant Slaughter, did three tours. I was never in the Marines, but the character was.
Yeah, but people were out.
And they're not talking to me. They're talking to Sergeant Slaughter.
Yes. Yeah. Are they getting into all the G.I. Joe stuff?
Yeah, because he left the WWE because he had young kids, and G.I. Joe said, we'll give you a bunch of money, and he went to Vince McMahon, and Vince said, bad news, we just started our own line of wrestling, guys, so you can't do G.I. Joe and wrestle here. So Sergeant Slaughter said, all right, well, I'll see you. I'm going to G.I. Joe.
Yeah. And then he came back to the WWE, and he was like an Iraqi sympathizer, right?
Yeah.
This was during the Iraq War, the height of it. And,
he turned on America?
Yeah, so Hulk Hogan had to beat him down.
Yep.
Wow.
Unlike the other one, I watched, he did not have, like, I'm gathering that he drank a lot because he was in some pictures and some of the other ones I've seen, but he did not have, like, drug problems or alcohol problems. He just really loved wrestling, and his wife did not like him wrestling. So they ended up getting divorced eventually, but they're still basically partners. I don't know if they live together, but neither of them are remarried, and they're still best friends kind of thing.
Oh, that's nice.
But, yeah, because that man just loves nothing more than going wrestling.
Yeah. And then, he also got real mouthy when Lacey Evans was doing a military gimmick, like a Marine gimmick. Remember at the end? And Sergeant Slaughter and her daughter got upset that she was doing, because she was using the Cobra Clutch and everything too. And
That's weird because she was actually in the military.
I know. Like she was a Marine. Like she.
Yeah.
She's a badass. She should be allowed to do the gimmick. But anyway, all right.
Yeah, and then I watched the Scott Hall one. That's a sad story.
That's a very sad story, yeah, Scott Hall.
Yeah, apparently he killed a guy.
Yeah, he was like a bouncer at a club, right? They went outside, and the guy pulled a gun or something, and Scott Hall got the gun, and they went and shot the guy. I don't know if he meant to shoot.
Blank in the head.
Yeah. And did he mean to do it? Like, or was they wrestling for it? And I can't even remember.
They're not. I would say it's not entirely clear whether he meant to, but he, because it seems like everyone else was like fair enough. It was self defense. You were the bouncer fighting a guy with a gun at the club. Self defense, we'll call it.
Yeah.
But it seems like that haunts him for the rest of his life, pretty much.
Yeah, that's basically what led him down the drugs and alcohol and everything was that moment.
Yeah, because there were several other people who were interviewed during the thing who were like, oh, yeah, we were in Orlando, so Scott took us to this club he used to work at and walked us through how he killed a guy here.
Yeah.
And, like, took us to the spot and showed us exactly everything, and, yeah, he just could not let it go.
Yeah, it's very sad, very sad. And, yeah, he cleaned up there at the end, you know.
Yeah, like, and then everybody's opinion is basically COVID left him stuck in a house by himself because he cleaned up, but he also said he was never going to stop drinking.
Yeah, he went off the wagon a couple times, but
and then they said, yeah, he was pretty much stuck in a house by himself with just his thoughts, and that was a bad recipe.
Yeah, so he just started drinking again, right? And then
yeah,
was it? Very sad. He was awesome. Scott Hall was great. I love Scott Hall.
He was awesome. Because I did not, like, I didn't watch WCW because I didn't have cable back then. So I missed, like, the NWO when it was happening and stuff like that. But they were very good. And Razor Ramon.
Yeah, I remember him back in the AWA when I was a little kid. Or, like, he would be on TV every once in a while. And he was just a big jack dude, man. He just looked like a badass all the time. And
yeah. I forget who it was that, you know, he did not look like Razor Ramon when he started wrestling.
Yeah, he had a mustache.
He had, like, kind of curly hair and a mustache and looked weird. And then somebody else told him, I forget who it was he was talking about, but they called him up and they were like, hey, turn on whatever channel because George Michael video is on TV. And it's like, you need to look like that guy. George Michael was the inspiration for the Razor Ramon look, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, and then obviously Scarface was the inspiration for the character. And,
yeah, and then Rocky was where he stole the "Hey Yo" catchphrase from.
Oh, look at that, Jack!
All right, I'm back in.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, Scott Hall, very charismatic and charming, even in his interviews where he's explaining, like, yeah, everything about my character was a ripoff of somebody else. Like, I stole this from George Michael and stole this from Scarface and stole this from Rocky, but, you know, you just got to steal from good people, basically, and you'll do great.
And I don't know how much they get into in the biography, but everyone says, like, he had just a great mind for the business. Like, he was really smart about wrestling. And there's a famous story. There's a famous story where he goes to he went to Bret Hart's house, and Bret Hart had all his championships displayed and everything in, like, a big room of all his accomplishments. And Scott Hall looked at him and says, hey, you know this stuff's fake, right? fucking Scott Hall. So anyway, he was great.
And then Diamond Dallas Page was the last one I watched this week.
I never liked Diamond Dallas Page.
I mean, these are all stories to make you sympathetic to the person they're profiling, but.
He did a lot of great work with Scott Hall and everybody, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
But in terms of being, like, his wrestling career, never a fan. Although he was married to Kimberly Page, who was smoking hot. And
yeah. He's the one who got him into yoga.
Yeah. Oh, how about that? And I got that yoga program for Larry, and he never fucking did it.
Nope. Yeah. I mean, his was interesting because he always loved wrestling because he ran nightclubs down in Miami.
Yeah, strip clubs,
strip clubs. And the wrestlers would come in and hang out, and he would talk about, like, hey, I should be a wrestler, because he was a big, you know, in-shape guy.
He didn't get into, like, wrestling until, what, 36 or so, right?
Yeah, so then he did, like, the radio spots for his club. So he was doing radio spots, and somebody who was a wrestler said, hey, we need a promoter for our wrestling thing. You want to do that for us? He
started as being a promoter, and then he was in eventually up in WCW, and they said, hey, your shtick is kind of running out, so we're just going to have to, you know, we can't have you around as the manager anymore. So he said, well, how about I just start wrestling then? And just started wrestling at like 35, 36 or something. Yeah. He had never wrestled before.
He had a hell of a career for starting so late. Like, he was champion. He was one of WCW's biggest stars. Larry and I never liked him. He just wasn't our kind of guy. But he was very, very popular.
But he's he's an interesting story.
Yeah, and he's done a lot of great work for all. He's basically just the guardian angel to all these old wrestlers who are down on their luck and drunks, like Jake Roberts, Scott Hall.
Scott Hall. Yep. Because they both would have definitely been dead.
Yep.
Much earlier.
Yeah, he just takes them into his house and just takes care of them. Like, they live with him, and so hell of a guy. But just never liked them. What can I say? There were spears that Asuka got injured last week, Tuffy. Did you see that? When they like attacked Damage Control, like, were they beating up Bayley again or something? But
they attacked Bayley, and then Naomi came out to help them.
Yeah, help she Bayley. Like fucked up her knee somehow, or she was like limping in the ring, and first people thought she was just working, and then the report came out that she was hurt. But I saw before the show that she was on SmackDown tonight, just at ringside dancing around and everything.
Yeah.
So she seems all right.
Yeah.
Because Mania is like a week away, Tuffy.
2 weeks.
Oh, all right. But it's close?
Yeah.
Getting close.
Next week is Easter weekend, and then Mania is the weekend after.
All right. I have no idea what today is, so I'm just guessing. So.
Yeah.
All right. 2 weeks away.
Yeah, because they still have to have more qualifying matches for that six-pack tag match, I think.
Well, I saw Asuka spit the mist into Naomi's face tonight because Naomi was wrestling Io, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Bianca came down to do the save to save her. So I'm guessing it's going to be Bianca and Naomi versus Asuka and Kairi for the tag titles, probably.
Yeah.
So that'll be
something. And then, they opened SmackDown tonight with Rey Mysterio versus Santos Escobar, and man, Rey was sloppy as all hell in that match.
He's very old now, and he's had so many surgeries, too. He's just coming back. But I saw Dominik came out, though. And
that was great.
Yeah,
Dom came out in the mask and distracted.
Dom is the best. Yeah. I want to see Dom end the bloodline. I want to see Dom finish his story.
I agree.
Hey, the Tribal Chief was on Pat McAfee today. And
They had clips of that on SmackDown, I saw.
Ah, nice. Yeah, he was saying some good shit on there.
Yeah.
Called CM Punk a bitch. So that was pretty good.
Yeah, wrestling is here by me tomorrow night.
Oh, no shit. Like the WWE, like one of them.
Yeah, I got the Road to WrestleMania house show going on.
You should go, Toffy. Take Jank. You should go. Liv Morgan might be there, Jank.
Oh.
I mean, I looked earlier this week, and I could get a ticket for $20, and then I looked again today, and it was up to, like, $38.
It's wrestling is very popular right now. At least WWE is.
Could have bought it when it was $20, but...
Hey, have you been following the Mercedes Moné, you know, Sasha Banks? She went over to AEW?
Yeah, I saw, and then people were complaining that she was too WWE.
Well, the rumors are that Tony Khan, now this cannot be true, but the rumor is that he's paying her $10 million a year.
And that would be true.
That would just be a ridiculous.
He's got money
amount of money.
Nothing to do with it.
And they're like, oh, big business. She's going to come on that show. She's going to bring all her fans over. The ratings are going to go up. AEW's back, baby. We're going to get, because they also signed Okada from Japan. And Will Ospreay or whatever, they bring in all these free agents. Like, AEW's back. The ratings went down. They actually went down.
Yeah.
Even
nobody is watching that for Sasha Banks.
Yeah. Everyone thinks they're a big star until they leave WWE and they find out, oh, yeah, I wasn't a big star. It's just WWE. It's the brand.
Yeah. I was a big Sasha Banks fan, but I have not followed 1 second of Sasha Banks since she left WWE.
I liked Sasha, too. But guess what, Sasha? Tiffany Stratton's here now. And after she's gone, Lyra Bacterio and Roxanne Perez. And then everybody, there's just an endless stream of people coming in. So
Yeah. Even Naomi, they made a big deal when she came back to WWE, and it's like, I didn't care about Naomi before she left.
Yeah, I like Naomi, but she's, you know, she's mid-card. No one's really filling up a Nan Arena to see Naomi. So, but WWE is loaded with talent right now. So that's good. What else is going on? Anything else in the world of America worth discussing? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Jank?
Nobody commented on my grocery store bag work, so.
No, me neither. I can't believe you do this poor job.
Because you do the self-checkout.
Yes.
And these stores are making it, like, impossible to do self-checkout now.
Why? What's going on?
The grocery store I go to, like, they opened the self-checkout probably before COVID, and then during COVID, that was a big thing. Everybody's using the self-checkout. And, you know, I think it was always implied this isn't for people with a cart full of groceries. They might have had a sign that said recommend 20 items or less for these lanes or something.
Oh, see,
and now they have a...
Oh, go ahead.
People are going.
Now they have a sign that's like, this lane is for only 10 items or less. You can only go here if you have these few items. And it used to be they would have the bag carousel with like four different bags on it that you could fill up. Now they cut it down to two bags per lane, which you could still fill a bag, open the one behind it, but they're really trying to push you back into the registers over there, and I don't care for it.
Do you still use the plastic bags there?
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, I just use the plastic bags too. Because I need litter bags, cat litter bags. They're very good for
cat.
But anyway, Giant Eagle, we have a whole array of self-checkout aisles, and they have a couple designated for 12 items or less, but then they have others that are open for everybody. So,
yeah, because I see stories about like Walmart's trying to push people out of the self-checkout lanes too.
I hate going to the one time it was really crowded, so I just went to a register where there's an actual human because no one goes there. So I'm like, all right, cool, I'll just go there. But yeah, I don't like interacting with humans unless I absolutely have to.
Yeah, because the problem is they don't want you using the self-checkout, but they still only have, like, one register open, and then there's, like, four people ahead of me who have a cart literally full of groceries that take 10 minutes each to check out.
The thing that really burns my biscuits is when I go there to Giant Eagle, and you got, 12 registers of self-checkouts, and only have, like, one open, and then it's like, what are we doing here? Turn these other ones on. What are we doing? Let's go. So, I don't know. I could do a whole podcast.
Don Adams wouldn't stand for that.
I know. Don Adams would put him into shape. I love the grocery store.
I worked at a grocery store. I did bag professionally at one point in my life.
Oh, you guys should have a bag off.
I'll tell you this right now. If Giant Eagle called me tomorrow and said, hey, Mike Dell, we'll make you a manager of this store just like Don Adams and check it out. Done and done. Where do I sign? I'm in. Let's make it happen. Think of all the wacky hijinks we could have as I'm managing a grocery store.
Yeah.
I would get involved in everyone's lives, you know?
There would be weird celebrities stopping by all the time. Those would be the grocery store.
Amazing. What a life that would be. Ah, so good. All right, Wilkie.
Fill out an application and send it to them. Your name on it.
Maybe. We'll see if this works. All right. So anyway, so Jank, you will not be here next week.
Nope, I will not.
But you're still good for Flea on Thursday?
Yep.
All right.
Be all good.
Hey, no one's watching that New Mutants thing. I guess when they heard Jank wasn't on the show, they said, we're not watching.
They tuned out, yep. They're boycotting.
There's like 22 people watching New Mutants. It's like, what are we doing?
They knew it was going to be so long. They're like, oh, boy. They look like burning.
But even if they log in and leave quickly, we should still get a view for it. So they're not even logging, like, hitting it.
Well, you can see the file size. You can see the runtime.
I suppose. Yeah. So that was not doing good. But we recorded one last night. What did we? Oh, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Sure, that'll do dynamite. It was action-packed.
Not so much. Not so much. All right, so we got to thank the Ed for stopping by. Thanks, the Ed.
Yeah, that's great.
He nearly died.
Twice.
And, don't go in any tanning beds, Ed.
Yeah. And I'd like to thank that lady who commented on my bagging at the grocery store. Thank you, lady. And I'm sorry I didn't.
Like two ships passing in the night.
I know. I feel terrible. I had no idea. Anyway. All right. So until next week, when I have other tales of misfortune, pass the munchie, Governor Gabby.
Thank you very much.